Hi, good evening. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Monday night call. Today is July 7th, 2014. First thing we're going to do is, like we've been doing for quite a few weeks now, is we're going to first look at some Bible verses and lift up the Lord. And then we'll go into where we're at, what we're doing, and what's going on. Justice, we've mentioned this numerous times, justice is synonymous with virtue. And I got a few verses here that I think this is a time for these kind of verses. In Ephesians chapter 6, let me read, starting in verse 11. The Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplates of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. So the godly qualities and the principles of God is the only thing that's going to get us through, and it's the only thing that's going to win the battle. We've looked at a lot of verses over the past couple of weeks where God says, this is my battle, it's not yours, it's my war, don't worry about it, step back. And we saw examples where he literally took out huge armies and where Israel didn't even lift up their sword and they were taken out. And that's the kind of God that we have, and that's the kind of God that we're depending upon, I believe, in these days. Only the people can save America. And I truly believe that only if they stand on righteousness, if they stand with the armor of God, praying diligently and standing up for justice in the court, standing up for justice for the weak, standing up for justice for the children. In Luke chapter 6, we read in verse 43, A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither do a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruits. For of thorns men do gather figs, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good measure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And the Lord tells us that the fruits of the Spirit, we read about that in Galatians chapter 5, where the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And long-suffering is tolerant and forgiving. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is self-control. Against such, God says, there is no law. The key to our success is patience, though. One of the things we've talked about from time to time is we have to have patience. We have to move methodically. We have to be consistent. We have to be persistent. We have to be careful. But we have to have the patience. We can't just rush in and haphazardly, without patience, just do anything we want. And that's only going to get us in trouble. Of course, we've had that problem over the past weeks. And we're trying to control people to tell them to get some patience. Take some time. Don't jump into things. Let's do what has to be done first. The Lord tells us in Luke 21 that in your patience possess ye your soul. In Romans chapter 5, he says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. In Romans 8, he tells us, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we have patience. That then we do with patience wait for it. In James chapter 1, the Lord tells us, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I do believe the race that we is set before us here, the National Liberty Alliance, is that race to get justice, to bring the fruits of the Spirit back into the courts so that we can have justice. Justice, again, is synonymous with virtue, and virtue is the qualities of God. Virtue is the principles of God. And one of the most important things that we have to have and be able to stand on, and what's really going to make us come forward, is honor. And again, you know, if we're not honorable, we're going to be just like them. If we don't have these principles, we're going to be just like them. We're going to be tyrants, and we'll lose our way again. In Proverbs chapter 3, God teaches us that if we have honor, that if we honor the Lord with thy substance, that's with all your resources, our bonds shall be filled with plenty. In Proverbs 4, he teaches us to exalt and embrace wisdom and understanding, and we shall be promoted, and she shall bring us honor. Proverbs 15 teaches us, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So the foundation of honor is humility, to be humble in order to come forth with honor. So our conclusion, we must be humble, and we must humbly persevere in the word of God in honor coupled in prayer, so that we might stand in truth, righteousness, and faith. We must stay the course and run with the patience, the race that God has set before us. And we will know that we are in the right race, as long as we see the fruits of the Spirit in ourselves and in those we are yoked together with. And the manifest of the fruits in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So, you know, the positions of National Liberty Alliance has always been a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And that requires perseverance. It requires humility. It requires sacrifice, long-suffering, temperance, prayer, and patience. Okay. As I'm sure a lot of people know, we've had a lot of problems over the weekend. The assault has begun. We always knew it would come. It actually has been going on for a while. We've been putting fires out here or there, but nothing has really gotten anything too big. But we have a few things that may be getting a little big. And so some people are aware of it. I got some phone calls, and a lot of people are saying they're seeing some things all over the Internet. And so immediately we went up to deal with some of these problems. I guess the first problem we're going to want to talk about is this problem with David Robinson. David Robinson has posted a paper, and the paper ultimately, he's from Maine. We didn't discuss any of this, of course, and I would never do anything like this, but he literally called for civil war in his paper, so it appears. And in that process, really has put himself in a very serious situation, and National Liberty Alliance, the people of National Liberty Alliance, could fall under that umbrella if we're not careful. We are extremely careful in what we do. There are people running around saying, I'm going to go to jail. Other people are going to go to jail, this, that, and the other thing. there are cases of the past where people did do the wrong thing and they did go to jail. I'm not aware of too many. I am aware of one, I think it was in Michigan. As a matter of fact, Eric Williams brings that one up out in Michigan, some guy, Logan, and this was back in 1996. And Eric is out there, and I'll tell you, you know, I don't like to bring up names and talk about people, but we're in a dilemma, in a situation. I'm going to name names. I'm going to talk about what they're doing out there. There are names that I'm not going to name, but I'm going to just name a few people. The other ones that I'm not naming, they know who they are. And I've had conversations with just about every one of these people, long conversations. And they try to put off that they're honorable. And I knew from my conversations with them, I suspected very strongly that these people were not honorable, not at all. Now, I'm not talking about David Robinson. He's a little different, and I'll talk about him in a minute, but I'm not saying that David isn't honorable. But some of these other people that I am going to name tonight, because National Liberty Alliance is being assaulted. The work that we've been working on for a year is being assaulted. There are people out there lying and saying all kinds of terrible names against us. The truth, I believe the truth will prevail. I also believe that all things work together for those who believe or for the better. So what they mean evil for us could very well be exactly what will maybe, catapult us. I don't know. But we are going to talk about these people because they want their names up there. The people I'm going to talk about right now, particularly three individuals by name, and I'm going to tell you, I've had conversations, and they claim to be honorable, as I mentioned. And there are other people whose names I'm not going to talk about at this moment. There are about seven or eight of them all together. They seem to be all rising together over the weekend. I don't know if this is a planned act or just a coincidence, and it came together, and they're making use of this. But I can tell you that they are egotistical. That's the only thing I can think of. These people, from their conversations, appear to me that they talk about themselves and really talk with me, trying to get me to somehow join with them. And this has been going on for quite some time with some of these people. I've always shied away from that because it's not for me to join a group to bring everyone that we're bringing here in National Liberty Alliance to join some group and get together with another group of people and pick up what they're doing. No, we're not here for that. We're here for the people's business and justice. That's what we're here for. And we're not a group. We don't belong to a club. No one person, including me, should have the ability to be able to try to drag people here and drag people there. What National Liberty Alliance is, we are a website that really is just providing an education, a place for communication, and a place to help to organize within your own counties, within your own states, and across the nation. That's our purpose, and that's it. We don't plan on telling anybody what to do. We do have to be very, very careful of what we do in the courts until we get into the courts. We can't do, you know, I was talking with Hagen last week, and he asked me to make a particular point clear. We've made this point before in the past, but we'll do it again. We are filing papers in New York, and we are indicting or writing true bills, which is really a presentment, but it's an indictment, same thing, indicting judges. We have 11 judges indicted here in New York. We have two clerks, and we just indicted a federal judge. But all of these indictments are being done only to get access into the courts. We do something, and they come out and break the law. Okay? We do something else. They come out and break the law again. We do something else again, and they break the law. So we indict them. We do a true bill, and we file it into the files. We did that through court cases in order to get it in because they wouldn't receive it in the files in New York State. And now we're filing it directly into the files on the federal courts. We've also filed everything that was in the state court in the federal court that we opened for an index number for the sole purpose of to do a mandamus to tell the judge what he has to do. But they're going into the federal courts, and as of yet, we haven't received anything back, and I don't believe we will. And they have a dilemma because they have paperwork in a file now that they have to act upon. To not act upon could be up to 20 years in jail, anywhere from 1 to 20, depending on who the player is and what they do to prevent that paperwork from going forward. And the federal government, the federal judges, they know this. And I believe the clerks know this. I think they're much more educated. That's been my experience. I've had two experiences in federal court, actually three experiences in federal court. One was a complete success. Another one recently was a complete success. And they both went very quickly because the judge knew what he had to do. And the third one is, of course, what we're doing right now. We filed in papers, and so far it looks like they're going to do what they have to do. We have done nothing outside of the process and procedure of law. We've been up front. We've written letters. We've answered letters. They remain silent when they have the duty to speak, and that's fraud. No matter how you cut it, that's what it is. And when you file a paper and they remove it, that's fraud also. And when two or three people work together to do it, that's conspiracy. And when they're making lots of money and there's a lot of criminal activities going on, which is exactly what's happening, okay, that's RICO. And so we are filing these papers. Now, I say to anyone else across the nation that they be careful about filing papers. If you don't know what you're doing, don't file them. If you are not well-versed in common law and understand that you can't use the fiction of law in your common law procedure, you can't go out with commercial liens, and we're going to talk about that in a minute because that's a serious offense, please don't file any papers. If you really want to go forward with something, it should be because there's a couple of people in your state that really understand what's going on, and they should be speaking with us, and we should be conferring with each other. Sharpening each other up. Iron sharpens iron. And then we can both make sure that we know what we're doing and we're doing the right thing and we're not doing anything that's going to get us in trouble. And I can assure you there's nothing we are doing that's going to get us in trouble. But what can get us in trouble is something like that took place up in Maine. What can get us in trouble is something that took place down in Florida with this guy Joaquin, which we're going to talk about him in a minute. And those are the things that can get us in trouble. This guy, Eric Williams, whatever he says is irrelevant, and I've spoke with him numerous times, and we're going to cover a case that he pulls up and uses against us and claims that we're going to go to jail and we're not doing anything right. He's irrelevant, though. Anything he says, it's really not going to hurt us. But what he is doing now is he's picking, this is what I'm hearing now, is that he is picking up on what David Robinson has done, and he's pushing the issue, saying that we, National Liberty Alliance, is pushing this forward, so he's lying. And so now that could become a problem. We sent out an email to everyone to let them know if they see any story any place on the web to file a disclaimer. And we wrote down the disclaimer. Matter of fact, let me see if I can get to that real quick, and I'll read it. It is up on our website. On the right side of our website, you'll see it right above the states. And it's a press release disclaimer, okay, for Robinson, for what the Robinson story. Now we also, let me just open it up and I'll read it real quick right now, and then we'll read what needs to be filed any place on the web that anyone might see this any of the stories going on. A press release disclaimer. The purpose of this disclaimer is to deny any connection with David Robinson's press release for July 4, 2014. NLA does not support or share the views of the following contents. And then we briefly went through, a paragraph or so, and then gave a link to where people can go read the whole press release that he has released. We have nothing to do with that, and we will never have anything to do with anything like that. This is very close. In the Constitution, it's pretty clear, and this is very close to subversion against the United States. And that is nothing of what we are doing. We are not doing anything like that. We're going to courts trying to get justice back in the courts. That's what we're doing. But there are people who would like to see us fail for whatever reasons. I don't know. We always knew that there would be people that have that view, and there could be many reasons why that could be. We're not going to go around trying to guess. But here is the disclaimer. It went out in the email. I think I sent it out last night. That we're asking people to put any place they see these stories on the web, whether it be on YouTube or some blog or whatever. Facebook, I heard, has exploded with this story, and people are looking forward to the coming civil war to some degree. I mean, civil war. And again, we have nothing to do with this. Disclaimer, it reads like this. Disclaimer from the Unified Common Law Grand Jury. The purpose of this disclaimer is to deny any connection with David Robertson's press release for July 4, 2014. NLA does not support or share his views. If you want to know what the Common Law Grand Jury is all about, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. We also invited them to the Monday night call if they were interested, and we gave them the instructions how to get there. So that's the response we're asking everybody to really put out there. There is a case, and I'm looking for it right now to open this up. It's in Missouri, and it's a decision from the Court of Appeals, and it's about an individual. Oh goodness, what's his name? Give me a minute, I'm looking for it. A guy named Logan. I think it's a little confusing. I think it's a couple Logan. I think it is his wife that got the. It's all about a traffic infraction, and I think it's his wife that got the ticket, and he was trying to represent his wife, and so on and so forth. But basically, they were found guilty of tampering with a judicial officer pursuant to a particular section out there in Missouri. And in the process of going to court back and forth, they finally went to trial. And when they were in trial, they learned about some common law grand jury. I don't think it was called the common law grand jury. It was just called grand jury, people's grand jury, citizens grand jury. I think we're the only ones ever to call ourselves the common law grand jury. And we're the only ones doing what we are doing. We're building administrations throughout the United States. But anyway, this was a traffic infraction, and the guy didn't want to pay the ticket, and he didn't think he had to, and he probably, he didn't have to pay it. He's right, but the way he went about it was wrong. And so they did go to trial, and they did lose, and they were fined $45 for the traffic infraction and another $50 or something like that, or $60. So it was $105, $110. And that's what this whole thing was about. And so what he did, this guy did, is he got himself a grand jury together, and he performed this grand jury. Not Denny's, or I'm just going to use that as an example. I forget exactly where. I should post this document. But the back room of Denny's type thing. They got together, and they indicted this judge and a prosecutor. And then they made the decision in the indictment that the judge and the prosecutor, and the police officer, they fined them $10,800,000. Then they took that, and then they filed another paper telling the judge that if he drops the case, he doesn't have to pay the fine. But if he doesn't drop the case, he's got to pay the fine. $10,800,000. That's a crime right there, okay? That's something that I think is real serious. As a matter of fact, if it came before us as a grand jury, we'd have to indict them for this because that's nothing short of extortion. That's what that is. So the judge, the time went by, the judge didn't respond, and then they went out and did commercial liens, exactly what we preach to people not to do. And that's what put them in jail. They did the commercial liens. They leaned the judge, they leaned the prosecutor, and they leaned the cop. Now, another judge came in and he overruled, you know, he had those liens removed. He was able to have them removed. So apparently they didn't even do the commercial lien right. Because I understand if you do a commercial lien correctly, they're very difficult to be removed. But this judge got them removed. They were removed. These people were arrested. They were tried. The two people, Logan and some other person, they got 7 years apiece. And the rest of the people got 4 years. Now, we don't do those things. And since we're talking about that, by the way, this is the case that this guy, Eric Williams, brings up and likes it onto us. It has nothing to do with anything that we're doing first to begin with. He also makes the point that if we do a declaration, that's what's going to protect us. If we do a declaration, we file it with the county, we declare the fact that we're free people, we're born of the soil, we're sons of God, and go through all this exercise of strange language, and nothing they do, we're not a citizen, we renounce our citizenship, and all that stuff, which only does is anything but marks us, is what it does. It gets you ready for the first wave when these crazy people come out after us. So that's all it does. But in any event, that if we do those things, we would be protected. And he refers to his own case back, I think he said 74 or 76 or something. Well, the IRS was not that hardcore in 74 and 76. When people went up against them from the common law position, I presume from time to time they'd win. And especially, you know, arguing the fact that this is all fiction if people knew about it, because he claims he knew about it and he made his argument and he got away with it. But he thinks it's all because he filed this paper. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what paper you file, the judges are going to put you in jail no matter what. Unless you put their flesh on the line, you're going to jail. If that's what they want to do is put you in jail, they're going to put you in jail. Now, if you understand how the process works and you're able to put their flesh on the line, they will back off. And they've backed off from us on numerous occasions. But in any event, he claims if you file this declaration, you're going to be okay. Well, Logan and this other person filed the declarations. It talks about it right here in this case. And they went to jail. And this was in 1996. Because, you know, that did not protect them. So even the case that this guy uses has nothing to do, it doesn't, nothing we're doing, okay? Plus the fact that he makes his claim, it disproves his claim. If you file some declaration, you're going to be safe. And by the way, I'm just breezing through this thing. It was a speeding ticket and a seatbelt infraction. And they got a $26 fine and $43 in court costs. That was it. That's what this whole thing was all about. These people would have been better off just going back into the courts and suing the judge and suing everybody and doing it properly. This brings us to Joaquin. And again, I don't like to bring people's names up. I don't like to tell these stories, but we're being assaulted, and we have to reveal it for what it is for numerous reasons. Number one, so everybody understands what's going on. And number two, we're putting it on the record. We have nothing to do with these people. They are out of control. They are either unstable individuals or they've been poisoned, which I think it's the poison on one, and I know one of them may be unstable, but poisoned. No matter what we tell, for instance, this guy Williams, he doesn't want to hear it. No, we have to do these things. We have to say we're not citizens. We don't do that. You know what we do is when we walk into a court, we're one of the people. And then we define the word people in a footnote, brings us right into we the people that established and ordained this Constitution for the government, for the United States of America. That's who we are. You can't get a better statement than that. For me to say I'm a son of God, or that I'm a flesh, and that I'm of the soil, and that I'm sovereign, and I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen, and I renounce my whatever. I mean, all that is stuff that you're going to have to now defend, making all these claims, and they're going to use that and keep you busy on that, and you'll never get to the case. We go in very simply. We're the people, in my case in New York. I'm one of the people in New York, and in this court of record, we sue, or I sue. And then we put footnotes on the meanings of words, and you can't get any clearer. And every sentence, every paragraph really expresses that the fact that we are sovereign in many different ways. And anybody who reads our paperwork very carefully will see that. But Eric doesn't want to see this. And so he's out on a rampage, And he is really the guy behind the steam working to get this letter or this paper that Dave Robinson wrote. Now, I was told, and I don't know if this is true or not, you know, but we did not call David Williams. I was going to, but we decided not to. He did send us an email telling us that we were terrible for throwing him off the site and doing all these things without talking with him. But nevertheless, I got together with three other leaders they're working together here at National Liberty Alliance, and it was unanimous very quickly. We have to do something very quickly. We have to put up denials of participation with him, and we had to cut him off the website. We can't allow the government to come and connect him with us. And so we put out enough in enough places that the government, I don't think, could possibly connect us. We resisted any connection from the very beginning. We put disclaimers everywhere. We asked people. A lot of people, I know someone called me earlier, just before the program tonight, and there was three YouTubes up there, and he spent time on those YouTubes going back to these people, telling them the truth, and two of those YouTubes came down. One of them is still up there, and it's probably the main one, the first one. The guy's really raking in the hits off of this YouTube. And so I posted a disclaimer, and I also sent him a message, and he has not returned that message yet. And I think it was yesterday I did that. And so I haven't heard anything back, so he's just taken opportunity to hit. Again, you know, it's an opportunist. Now, Joaquin, I want to go to Joaquin. And I want to read his. We posted this disclaimer about Joaquin. He's down in Florida. Last week, I think we posted this. I'm trying to remember when exactly we posted it. It was before the holidays, I'm pretty sure it was. I just recently put it in a more seeable place. It's on every page of our website on the right side, right above the fully constituted states. And while I bring that up real quick, I'd like to welcome Montana on board. They constituted their state on July 5th, which was this Saturday, this past Saturday, right after July 4th. So we're now up to 24 states, one more state, and we're 50%. But anyway, this guy Joaquin wrote a paper, and there is one other name I want to bring up, and I'm going to ask him to do the honorable thing. It was not in my mind and my intentions when I was speaking about the fact there are people that have approached us and claiming to be honorable. I sensed in the conversation they were not. I've sensed in the way they're trying to get to me do things over the year or 6 months or whatever it's been that I've known some of these people, and I would not. And in the different ways they tried to get around. There was one individual that worked with Joaquin, whom I'm very, he's not an honorable person. But Arnie Rosner, he's got a blog out there, and it's something Retina. Gerard, do you remember the name of that something Retina?
Now Scanned Retina.
Scanned Retina. Now, Arnie, if you're listening, I'm asking you to be an honorable man and do the right thing. You have become, you've gotten a lot of people coming to read your blog, I believe, because a lot of it has to do with us. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think I am. And I've watched the Google Analytics since you've met us, and we'll just leave it at that. But you've been covering Joaquin as if he's some kind of a hero. And I sent a disclaimer, and I asked you to post this disclaimer with this, and you've refused to do this. He said that he didn't want to say bad things about people. Now, I'm going to tell what we have to say is the truth. We're responding to an assault. We're responding to an assault upon the core of what National Liberty Alliance is doing. We want to stay pure. We don't get involved with the fiction. We don't go out chasing people. We don't go out for revenge. We have principles. We're honorable. We have the sense of mercy and a sense of justice. We desire the courts to be brought back to justice. And we have no plan to chase anyone down, none whatsoever. We'll only respond to what the people bring to us. I know where a lot of their skeletons are in New York here anyway. We have no plan to go after these people. We just want them to obey from this point forward. When we get into power and authority, we want them to obey from that point forward. But here is the disclaimer. It's been posted up on our site. It's 3 pages. I've asked Arnie to post this. He refuses to post it. He says it's saying bad things about Mr. Joaquin. But all we're doing is telling the truth. And I certainly hope that you reconsider because, you know, you claim to be an honorable man. You know me for almost a year now. You've talked with me to try to get me involved with a lot of things, and you've come to respect the fact what I'm doing is what I'm doing and trying to keep it pure, and I don't ever go against anybody else and anything else that they're doing. There are people doing things that I think are wrong, but I hope they're successful. I'm definitely not going to talk bad about them because their intentions, I think, are good. I think they just got some misinformation. Just like Eric Williams seems to think that we're wrong, but he should be hoping for us to succeed. So let me read this disclaimer. I think it's important. This is not an assault upon the individual. It's just a fact, and it is really a defensive thing. We're defending ourselves. The purpose of this disclaimer, let me take a drink of water here. The purpose of this disclaimer is to deny any connection with Mr. Joaquin. I'm not sure how you pronounce the rest of his name, but I got his whole name here, but I'll just call him Mr. Joaquin, who titles himself a God Grace Administrator. That's what he puts on his title, okay? God Grace Administrator, concerning his filing of papers in Sheridan County, Nebraska, and any other paper he may have filed in any other state or counties. Numerous people from NLA have advised Joaquin not to file these kinds of hybrid papers in the name of the common law grand jury. We explained that it could create a serious barrier to the efforts of National Liberty Alliance. We told Joaquin that if he was determined to file such papers, to not do it in the name of the common law grand jury. And he acknowledged it, and he said that he would not use the name. That was my last conversation with Joaquin. Joaquin is in dishonor for the following reasons. Joaquin filed hybrid papers in the name of the common law grand jury after he said he would not injure us. Joaquin does not live in Sheridan County, Nebraska. He lives in Florida. The people working to restore justice in the courts in Sheridan County, Nebraska, through the common law grand jury, has denied Joaquin's hybrid papers. Nevertheless, Joaquin went forward on his own, claiming 25 people with him, presumed from other states. I presume they're coming in from other states. And that's if there are 25 people. So presumed from other states if there are 25 people. Joaquin purchased and used a Sheridan County, Nebraska seal identical to the one designed by the common law grand jury's administrations. We are creating. Particularly Sheridan County, Nebraska. And in doing so, he has blemished the Sheridan County Common Law Grand Jury Administration. Joaquin, in his hybrid papers, fraudulently used the following contact information. He put on the top for a response, in the United States Courthouse, Office of the United States Marshal Service Director, Washington, D.C., with a zip code, phone number in Washington, D.C., an email to someone in government in Washington, D.C., giving the name of Stacia A. Helton, United States Marshal Service Director. And within 2 days, before he filed that paper, and the court case that was going to take place was 2 days, and it was the next day they pulled that case out. And I'm sure they're regrouping. Well, let me finish the paper. Joaquin fraudulently created the case number by creating, he used 06172014, which is a date, CLG, Common Law Grand Jury, IRDD, I don't know what that means, / SCNE, don't know what that means. Joaquin claimed himself the plaintiff. Joaquin called his hybrid papers a lawsuit. He called them a criminal complaint. He called it an affidavit. He called it a demand to amend and a commercial lien to take the homes, the lands, the possessions of the accused. Joaquin then lists 15 facts yet to be proven in a court of law, quotes portions of the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and U.S. codes, and then illogically concludes, with the imposing of fines and penalties, giving his hybrid complaint a so-called commercial value of $133,800,000. Joaquin then seems to convert the hybrid papers into a commercial lien upon 10 judges and 50 other people, who Joaquin refers to as lien debtors. All this is fiction. This is not reality. We don't deal in fiction. We don't combine the two. This is what put those two people in, I think it was, what did they say, Missouri, wherever that was. They put those two people in jail for 2 years for doing exactly what Joaquin did. And we told him not to. He could do whatever he pleases. He's a free person. Go do whatever you want. Just don't involve us. We're not part of your crime and your criminal activity. Joaquin then seems to convert the hybrid papers into a commercial lien, okay, upon those judges and call them lien debtors. Joaquin then, under the hybrid title, plaintiff, common law grand jury administrator of Sheridan County, Nebraska, commands and demands the accused to amend without delay with the following threat. Again, same thing that these other people did. Joaquin plaintiff will execute said commercial and personal liens on 7/27/2014. Whereas Joaquin will commence in the taking of their homes, lands, and possessions under the power of a notice of default. Again, another fictional process we have nothing to do with. The man, this does not belong in common law, which Joaquin calls due process. Notice of default, he calls it a due process. Joaquin further ordains that all defendants immediately shall be incapable of holding office now and in the future. Joaquin further ordains that if the accused do not comply by 7/26/2014, the defendant shall serve as a reduced sentence, from imprisonment of life to not more than 10 years of community services of 4 hours per day for the crime that had been committed, with no pay, working each defendant in a different criminology center in the state of Nebraska and Georgia. Defendants shall be teaching inmates to file United States constitutional criminal complaints. But defendants are ignorant of the Constitution. This doesn't even make sense. Joaquin concludes with compounded interest at 1% monthly and 12.68247% per year on any unpaid balance of the outstanding debt attached to Joaquin's hybrid papers. Attached to Joaquin's hybrid papers are numerous commercial liens signed by Randy Dew, titled Public Minister. Now, people have connected me with Randy Dew, and Randy Dew has sent me letters from prison, and he expects me to get involved in his case, and I cannot get involved in this case, and I will not get involved in this case because it's going to put NLA in jeopardy. He's doing exactly what I'm preaching to people don't do. You know, if you want to sue someone, go sue them. Follow the process and the procedures in the court. Do not go and file commercial liens, do letters of default, and then place these commercial liens on people as if that is due process. That is not due process. And that's what this is all about. All these people are doing the same thing, exactly what NLA teaches never to do. We don't get lost in the fiction. They're not real. We're not going to let them have any sense of reality about them. We're not going to acknowledge them as a reality. We're not going to use their process and procedures. They're illegal. They're unconstitutional. They're against common law as in on its own integrity. It's against everything that common law stands for. There are commercial processes and procedures, and that's for another reason, but we're not going to talk about that. But this, what they're doing, is fiction. The power and the authority of the common law grand jury administrators is to, number one, investigate. Number two, to negotiate a remedy between the violator and the injured party. Number three, to bring the issues before the grand jury chosen from a pool within the county or federal district. The power and authority of the common law grand jury is to, number one, write and file a true bill of indictment. Number two, write and file a bill of information. Only the process by filing one of the aforesaid can remove a person from office. That's done once it's filed by the court, by the sheriff, by the authorities. We don't remove them. We don't make those points. That's what the judicial process does. It goes along the conveyor belt, so to speak. The grand jury or its administration does not have the authority to, number one, enforce a judgment without due process. Due process is a trial by jury in a court of law. You can't file commercial liens. What business does the common law grand jury have to be doing with that? You're going to jail. You'll be lucky if he doesn't. Number two, file commercial liens. Number three, threaten and intimidate. Joaquin, now these are all facts. This is not, I'm not attacking this man, but this is what he's doing. I got everything that I'm writing. Every single thing is off of his papers. And I have copies of those files. Maybe I should put them up there online also of his entire case. I read through his case very carefully. It took a lot of time of other things that I needed to be doing, but I had to deal with this guy, with this problem, even after he was so dishonorable and lied to us and then did what he did. But I went through his case very carefully. I read through it. I made a list of the things he was doing. This is a response to exactly what he did. I am not making any of this up. I am not assaulting him. I am putting out the facts of what he has done and how he has attached it to us, and we want to get away from it. We have nothing to do with this stuff. Joaquin, with three others, did not perform an investigation. And that's because we teach four people. Not even Joaquin on his own did this, but he didn't even get three other people to do this. He didn't perform an investigation. Joaquin, with three others, did not try and negotiate a remedy, but instead threatened and intimidated. Joaquin, with three others, did not bring the issue before the grand jury, chosen from a pool within the county or the federal district that these people live in. Joaquin, with three others, did... I lost my place here. Well, maybe I'm repeating myself. Joaquin, with three others, did not bring the issue before the grand jury after an investigation. He didn't even go out there and investigate. He flew out there, met up with this other guy. They went together. They rode over and filed the papers, and he left town. Didn't do an investigation. When did he have the time to find 25 people in that county or in that federal district to file these papers? I'm telling you right now, if this case was brought before us as a grand jury, if I was in part of the investigative team, and these people, which are criminals, nevertheless, they're people, and they've got rights too. And if they said that Joaquin injured him, and I looked at this, and we went in and investigated and found that these facts to be true, and I'm telling you from all we see in his paperwork and what he's done and what he said, they are true as far as he didn't do an investigation. He didn't go out there and question these people. Nothing. And then he filed these papers. He injured them. We would have to indict. We would have to try to work a remedy. But anyway, the grand jury did not write and file a true bill of indictment. He never even filed a true bill of indictment. He just wrote these papers and put on liens. The grand jury did not write and file a bill of information. Didn't even report the illegal goings-on. Without an indictment, a person cannot be removed from office. Commercial liens come into play in courts of equity, not courts of law. We are in a court of law. Common law is a court of law, not a court of equity. That's their courts. It has nothing to do with us. The accused did not enjoy their day in court of due process before anyone can imprison or seize their property. Joaquin just flew into Nebraska, filed intimidating illegal papers, and then flew back to Florida. Joaquin became the tyrant, and if one of the accused filed a complaint with the proper grand jury, Joaquin would be indicted because he did indeed injure people. He violated their unalienable rights. We read in the United States versus Williams, we have insisted, this is what Judge Scalia, and he was quoting another case. He was quoting United States versus Danny, but he says, we have insisted that the grand jury remain free to pursue its investigations unhindered by external influences or supervision, so long as they do not trench upon the legitimate right of any witness called before it. And that's what he did. And that's why we've separated ourselves from him. And that's why we're telling anybody else that wants to do these things, separate yourselves from us and do not use what we are teaching. Don't use the seals to make it look like you're one of us. You're not one of us. You're not an honor. You're not. You come with no sense of justice or mercy in your heart at all if you do these things. You are not one of us. The grand jury administration is not judge, trial, and executioner. That's the role of a tyrant. After conversations with Joaquin and reading his chaotic papers, I have come to the conclusion that Joaquin is unlearned and unstable, and there's nothing more frightened than ignorance in action. His papers are really erratic. They're all over the place. He names them different things throughout the whole process. He doesn't come to any true conclusions. He doesn't offer anything for anybody to talk to. He doesn't offer an investigation whatsoever. Anyway, it is my sincere and humble opinion that Mr. Joaquin, because of the fraudulent impression given by his unauthoritative document, especially the impression that the paper was delivered under the authority of the Office of the United States Marshal Service Director Stacia A. Hilton in Washington, D.C., that there has commenced by now an investigation by the Justice Department concerning Joaquin and all the people involved with his debacle. I believe that that's what's going on right now. No doubt this investigation will lead to Florida, where Mr. Joaquin lives. It is further my opinion that the administration of the Florida common law grand juries will be in the Justice Department's crosshairs. And any credibility that Florida National Liberty Alliance members give to Joaquin will put their efforts and all NLA members' efforts into jeopardy. Joaquin has already been removed from NLA's membership. And we demand that all NLA members that are in association with Joaquin to remove themselves from our membership immediately. I would further like to add that we have kept ourselves as pure as possible. I have been approached by many groups across the nation, individuals working on their behalf doing similar things as us, have approached me to join forces, and I have refused them all. Because NLA is not a group. And NLA is not a top-down organization like all the groups that have solicited me. We are the people, we are grassroots, and we have found liberty. NLA is only a facilitator of knowledge, organization, and communications. We have no chief but God. And we will either stand on principles or we will kiss the boots of tyrants. Unfortunately, the aforesaid groups are led by egos. And without naming names, a few of these egos, after telling me that they are honorable and respect what we are doing, slithered into what they saw as an opportunity to embellish themselves by partnering with Joaquin in the fiasco for fame. NLA has worked diligently in an effort to work within the judicial procedures of the court of law and under the principles of honor, justice, and mercy. And these dishonorable people have betrayed us all. Nevertheless, be of good cheer and stand for justice, for we read in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Thank you for your time, and may God have mercy upon our souls. In his service, John Duresh. Okay, so that's the disclaimer I posted, and I did ask... I did ask Arnie if he would post this along with the other papers. Arnie knows the papers that he wrote was damaging. Arnie knows that I've been teaching and preaching, and I've told him 1,000 times, maybe not literally 1,000 times, it's figurative, but I've told him many times, we do not get involved in the commercial stuff. We don't give fiction reality. And he knows that Joaquin was attached to us. He knows he's coming with a seal that is our seal. And then he printed the story. He shouldn't have printed that story. He should have called me and talked with me about it. And then he could have printed the story, got my comments, and then he could have printed whatever he wants to do if he thinks it needs to be done. But he shouldn't. The paper has no legal credibility to it at all. It has nothing. It's not formed right. There's no bill of a true bill involved with it. There's nothing. But he's doing it in the name of the common law grand jury. And he's doing it in our name. And he's going to injure us unless we separate. Now, I can tell you, we have to be careful because now at this point, you know, again, we're being approached by a lot of people. We have Eric Williams running around doing these things. We have Joaquin running around doing those things. We have David Robinson, who was calling for civil war in an open letter. And then there's one other person whose name I'm going to bring up, and he just came back up. He has been gone for a long time, but he sees an opportunity here, and his name is Tom Murphy. I've had many conversations with Tom Murphy. I tried to cooperate with him in many different ways, and, you know, look, you're doing things your way. I'm not doing it that way. We've got something else going on. We're doing something at the grassroots. He's got this thing going on an international or national level. There's some kind of shadow government that they're constructing. They're operating courts outside of the courthouse that we built, which belongs, you know, under the United States or under our state. Those are our courthouses. That's where we need to go. We don't go out and build or try to operate out of the back room of Denny's and start doing commercial stuff and liens and getting involved with international people. That's what this guy's doing. I hope he's successful. His end results is good, but the way he's doing it, I think he's in serious trouble. And he's kind of like our canary. When they come out to arrest people, he's like the guy that's going to be arrested first. And when we start seeing him go after these different groups, then we know what's going on. So he becomes our mind canary, you know. But Tom Murphy told me last time I spoke with him, because I wouldn't give up my voters' registration. I will not give up my voters' registration. Matter of fact, I'm running for a committee man here in New York, and I'm working my papers tomorrow evening, and I'll be filing them before the end of the week. And I can only do that if I am registered with one of the parties. And so I'm doing that because I want to be one of the people to decide honorable people to run for office and not criminals and dishonorable people. And that's why we should not, and we should vote. It doesn't matter that they have robbed the system and have taken control of it and they're really doing corporate business and not the people's business. That doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is we get in there and take control, we can turn that around. And we will turn that around to the grand jury. But anyway, he told me if I didn't give up my voter's registration, that I'm the enemy. And that when he gets in power, and he put it to me that way, that he personally is coming out to arrest me because I refuse to comply. I mean, this is the kind of ego that we're working with, and I can't think of anything else. He's poisoned by some lies of fiction, but that is what it is. And again, I really wish I didn't have to mention names. I wish I didn't have to speak like this, but there is no choice. If we don't speak and disclaim all this stuff, particularly by name, we'll be associated with it, and all the work of National Liberty Alliance will be for naught. We have nothing to do with these people. These people have been led astray. They have lost their way. They have been poisoned, or whatever purpose they did it, we'll leave it for that. But ultimately, they've been poisoned. We have nothing to do with it. And anybody has anything to do with that, anybody who thinks that they're going to file a paper and use the fiction to go after commercial liens, to put judges in jail, and to do all those things, leave National Liberty Alliance now. We want no part of you. Don't put us in jeopardy. That has nothing to do with law. Nothing. It's criminal. You've become the tyrant, just like them. That's not what we do. So, going back to something, I just wanted to make a point. I started to talk about this, and I got lost in other things here. And filing the bottom line, or I did finish that. Yeah, what we're doing here in New York is we're only filing papers on people that are getting in our way to get into the system. Everyone does not have to do this. Only one of us, only one group has to do this. If three or four group wants to do it, that's fine, but know what you're doing. Confer with us. Let's talk. Let's make sure you're on the mark. But, you know, we're doing it very carefully, and we're putting the pressure. The pressure is building on these people, and I truly believe in the next 30 days we're going to break into the system. Because we're heading for the United States Supreme Court to talk to Scalia himself. And we're not going in there to ask him to make a ruling or doing anything. We're going in there with an order. We, the people, are going to command him by writ of mandamus to sign the papers to command other judges throughout the United States, in every state, whether it's federal or state, to obey the law of the land. And we're going to list the specific laws that require them to step aside and let the people come in and take their rightful seat in the courthouse. Let them be the consenters of their government. And we're not coming in for vengeance. We're not coming in on a witch hunt. We're going to work with everyone. I don't care if they're Hitler. We'll work with them. As long as they work with us and do the right thing from this point forward, we're all good. Their skeletons and their closets will catch up with them eventually. Our focus is to save the nation and to do it legally, to do it constitutionally, to do it according to process and procedure. And we can do it if God is merciful to help us or to allow us to do that. There are some people who are trying to work on the national level. We do have a group of people that are working on a national level. If they want to get in touch with those people to see if they need more help, they can do that. They can call Sheila. Please don't pick up. It's good that you can pick up on your own and fill a position and a job that needs to be done. That's what Sheila did. She saw the need, and she picked up, started doing it, and she called me, told me what she was doing, and said, I hope it's okay. And I said, sure it is. Why not? It needs to be done. You know, I don't have the time to do it. And so, and she got together, and it's mostly women, as a matter of fact, you know, that are doing this job across America, getting all the states moving. And so they've already spearheaded this. They're working on it, and they've come to me for certain information, and we're doing other things, and I'm giving them information and that they need to collect and telling them what the next project is, and they're preparing for the people or the state leaders to do the next thing and making sure the paperwork gets in and making sure the states get constituted and all this other stuff. So anybody else that is doing this, and if they're not working with Sheila, stop. Let them do it. They've got everything under control. They broke the country down into four sections. Four sections by time zones. And they got people working in those time zones and helping and assisting people to get the job done. We don't need someone else jumping in and confusing them. And again, if you really want to get involved with this, see if your help can be used. Call up Sheila and ask her, is there anything I could do? What can I do? She could take it from there. So on this note, let's focus in on that. Everybody should be focusing in particularly on their state. If they have the extra time, it seems like we do have enough people on the national level working that project. So, they're doing a very methodical job at this. So we're catching everybody and no one's falling through the net. But anybody that really wants to get involved should be really focused in on their state. All of our states are not totally organized. And we still have counties that don't have leaders. I know New York has counties that don't have leaders. We need leaders. Find leaders. Get organization going. Get things done.
That's going to be real important when we get in, because then we'll be lacking in those leaders, and we're going to have work to be done that we won't be able to do. Because the constituting will come to an end, but the leadership will not. I mean, the three administrators have to be there.
And now is the time to get people that are already involved with us and somewhat at least listening to us and to get trained in a way that we come in here with honor. And I want to tell you something. If we lose this, if we get all of a sudden a landslide of people coming into NLA, and we don't have enough leadership in the states to handle them, we're going to have people doing all kinds of chaotic, crazy things. We cannot allow this to happen. We're going to lose all that we've done. We're going to lose it all. So we have to take control. We have to have the guts to get up and tell people that are out of control, either if they can't control themselves and change, then leave us, just leave us. Okay? No one person has the authority or should go out and just tell people to leave or ask people to leave. If there's a person, a problem, you get together whatever leadership is in your state or your counties and talk and find out, what are we going to do with this person? And you always try to bring them back in and make them control themselves and operate the proper way. And if they don't, then you got to cut them off from you and move on. And because when we get the landslide, we're going to get a lot of people who's going to try to be taking power and they're going to be doing the wrong things. We need to take this control. You know, one of the reasons why I decided that we needed to start off every Monday night with something out of the Bible is so that we hear the word of God and that people may respond and understand that unless God fights the war, we lose. And he will not fight the war if we do not have a bent knee. He will not protect us. He will not save us. We must have a bent knee to the Lord. So it may very well be his will to do what, you know, to make us successful, and I trust that that is probably the case. Got something, a note here. I'm not sure what it means. Hold on. We haven't seen work. Okay. One other thing. I get a lot of phone calls, and sometimes I just totally ignore my phone. I just can't get nothing done, so I go days sometimes just ignoring the phone, and I know a lot of people get frustrated trying to get me and so on and so forth. I want to be able to pick up the phone, but I get way, way too many people who call me up, and they want legal information. They want to know. They got a case, and often I'll get a call from someone, and they're going to be in court tomorrow or the next day. Like, I can do something about that. I can't do anything about that, you know? People have got to learn on their own what they need to do. If you have a situation, you should act on it immediately. Don't wait till a day or two before. So what I'm doing is I'm going to start, and I was going to do it this Thursday. I'm going to put everything up on the web. It'll be next Thursday. It won't be this Thursday. Because I got a call from Drake. Anybody who knows Drake, he asked me to come on his show on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Thursday. So I'm going on a Drake show. And he'll probably have me for the full 3 hours. Well, he's got, I think, usually 2 hours. He's got a three-hour program. I think he does something on the first hour and then usually keeps me for the two. But I'll be on his show. But after that, starting next Thursday, after this Thursday, I'm going to open the room right here, and I'm going to put the information on the Monday night call. I'll put a little information about this too. Anybody who wants to come in and talk about legal stuff, you know, writing papers in courts and stuff, I'll be there, and we'll deal collectively. People can come into the room, ask questions, and most of the answers are the same for a lot of people. I find myself repeating myself all day long. Hours on end I spend talking to people, and it's gotten too much for me now. So I am refusing any call that comes in to talk about a case. If they want to talk to me about a case and get some thoughts and ideas from me and others, and we could discuss it, that'll be Thursday night from 9 p.m., we're not going to go any later than midnight. It'll be 3 hours at the most. Anybody's welcome to come there. If I'm in there at 9 o'clock and no one's in there by 9:15, I'll leave. But it's only to talk about court, okay? Once we go through the Q&A, if there's only a couple people in there and we do it in an hour, then I'm leaving in an hour. But I'll spend as much as 3 hours a week. Anybody else who needs to call me, I get a lot of calls from people who want to know what's going on, what's the latest news, what's this or what that. Well, that's what Monday is for. Monday is where we talk about that. You have a question, get into the queue. Let's talk. Other than that, people call me on the number. Some people have my cell number, but my 233 number, people can call me there if they have something that's important. You know, they're in the middle of a meeting. They got a question. They give me a call. They got a situation. They're not sure what to do. They give me a call. They got a phone call from someone and are wondering what my thoughts are on it. Give me a call. You know, these are important calls. This is the business of NLA. If you're calling me about the business of NLA, fine. I would ask that people call me between the hours any day, Monday through Saturday, from 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till 11 or 12. Often I'm on till 12. I'm trying to get to bed earlier, but I'll stay on till 12 if people want to talk. And so I'm available. That's the best time to call me. Let me repeat that, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till midnight, okay? Preferably 11, 11:30, but midnight if necessary. If you call me during the day because it's important, I'm going to try to answer the phone. But if my phones continue to ring, you may not get me then because I've got to put them on ignore at some point so I can get work done. And sometimes I have to leave to get work done. I have to go someplace, and it's got to get done. So I do the best I can. It's just gotten to the point where I just can no longer just answer the phones. So if everybody obeys the rules, I'm writing this up, and I just wrote it up on our website. If you go to nationallibertyalliance.org and you just click on contacts, you click on that page. And on that page, I'll read what I wrote so far. I may change this a little bit. And hopefully the wording's good, but I haven't read this out loud yet. If you have any questions, you can contact your state coordinator or click here to find your county organizer. If they cannot answer your questions, you can ask the question at our Monday night calls at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I put a link for that. If you have a legal question, you can come on to our Thursday night call at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you need to talk to me on other issues, try calling me at 845-233-6560 between 8:30 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. Please do not call me on the phone for legal issues. See me on Thursday. If you are going to court in the next day or two and you need some advice, you waited too long, see me on Thursday. If you have a technical problem with the site, do not call me. Read the rest of this page before filling out the form below to get technical assistance. So we have a technical assistance guy, that will deal with the problem. But sometimes people call about the same issue over and over and over again. There's maybe two or three different issues. And we give the solution. It's written right here on this page. Just read this page, and you'll find the solution. If none of the solutions work, then you fill out the form, and the tech will get back to you. And he'll work out the problem with you and get back to you. So please,
John,
follow that process. Yeah.
John, you need to put a disclaimer in there, because you're really not giving legal advice, because that will get you in trouble. But you got
common law that it would, but if you can find a better name, a better word.
We're teaching law fundamentals and how to carry them into court. We're teaching.
Right.
You can teach anything. I just want to say that in public, because you got these lawyers out there listening, and they're just sitting there, sharpening their harpoons, so to speak,
Right. Well, they can come out after me anyway. I don't care, because they play in their equity courts and
right.
Doesn't apply to us. There's nothing wrong with trying to help somebody. Hey, look, we're human just like anyone else. We'll give you our thoughts and our ideas, what works for us, what we think will work, and so on and so forth. It's up to you to decide what you want to do. And if people fail, it may not even be necessarily for the advice we gave, but because they just didn't follow through. When we do fail or we only get a half a win, it's because the people bail out. Thornton talked about the same thing. In a lot of cases that they kind of won because, the other side kind of folded up and they didn't just continue pursuing it. So, they kind of won, but it just never got concluded.
Right, right.
So,
and I got something I want to bring up when you're done. I need about, 5 or 8 minutes or so.
Yeah, I think I'm done. Let me just take a quick look through my list here. Standing, I made the point about standing, we're the people. We don't have to say anything more than that. That is our standing. Anybody who's studying on Thornton, he makes this so clear. It is just so clear. I'm one of the people. Who's one of the people? Well, we refer right back to the Constitution, the preamble. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for you. That's who I am. I'm the king. I'm one of the kings. And you can't make it any more clearer. Although we do in many other ways as we go through our paperwork, it's constantly focusing in on what jurisdiction we're in, constantly, over and over, because it's all about jurisdiction. Okay. One other thing. I wanted to bring this up, talking about the standing. We are building administrations. We are not building juries. We are building administrations. No one has done what we have done. Nobody has ever done in our time, in our past 50 or 80 or 100 years, maybe even before that, no one has ever done what we're doing. We are building administrations in every single county. We're looking for 4 people to work to administer to the juries, whether they be trial or grand jury. We are investigators for the grand jury. We bring whatever we find, like a prosecutor, to the grand jury, and we lay the case before them, and they either decide to indict or not. The state prosecutors will bring their cases before the grand jury also, and the grand jury will decide whether they're going to indict or not. Okay? And that's what we're doing. Nobody has ever done that. We are not saying that we are the grand jury. It is a wrongdoing to create a grand jury and just sit in that grand jury forever, a year, 2 years, 3. No, that's a wrongdoing. No, this is the people. Everybody gets a turn. We want to mix it up, get as many people involved as possible. We want to teach in the schools. It's your duty when you're called to get involved. And we can't abuse these people. We try to have them serve no more than a week and maybe every 10 years or something, whatever it is according to the population and the need of the county. Okay, a lot of cases we'll be able to squash before they even get to being considered on the grand jury or the jury, because we'll suggest different ways we could deal with the problem and settle it between the two people, between the violator and the violated. So no one has ever done that. We are only acting as a grand jury to get into the system. That's the only reason we're considering indictments as a grand jury. And the only other reason we'll consider sitting as a grand jury is when we deal with the big problems with maybe the assembly up in our case in Albany, which is our capital here in New York. We'll deal with the assembly up in Albany. We'll deal with the New York senators up in Albany. We'll deal with the governor's office in Albany. And we'll deal with our councilmen and our new U.S. Senators. But once we put them on track and we give them our speech and we lay it out, and if we have to deal with them in a way as a grand jury, we will. And once that's all settled, and that'll be very quick, then it's done. We don't sit as grand juries no more, grand jurors no more. Remember, we're already prejudiced. If we think these people need to be indicted, we're coming to the grand jury to convince them of that. So we need to get 25 people who are not prejudiced. We'll lay the case out. Okay? Obviously, we can't sit as jurors because, again, we're already prejudiced. We believe they're guilty. That's why we're bringing it to them. So we can't sit as a jury in those cases because we're prejudiced. So, but in a way of getting things together in the state, we need to do those things. So that makes us very different than anything anyone else has done. Clearly, Williams doesn't understand this, and the other people who are causing problems. And like I said, right now there are four or five people which we named, and there are a few others which we have not named. I don't see a need to name them.
I'm going to name one more because I've gotten so much scuttlebutt, and he comes right out and calls our plan a fraudulent plan. And don't go with NLA and go with my group or these groups. And I think I need to do it in public because I don't have time to stick the pacifier in his mouth and the other people. Look, if people come in and they're new and they haven't studied yet, and that's who these people prey on, you know, I can always tell somebody that hasn't studied or doesn't want to know because of the arguments they put forward and the questions they ask. Look, at when you're a teacher and the students are asking questions, you know they didn't review the chapter. You know they didn't do the work because they wouldn't be asking those questions if they did. You know, I mean, if you have any inkling about what we're doing and you've read it all, your questions would have a little different tenor in them. So I know people like William Tyler Real, who's been putting a lot of stuff out, and he's got 9 questions. My goodness, that is stuff from way back when we first started. That's been laid out so many times, I'm so tired of answering it. New people come in and say, well, why don't you answer it? Why don't you put it out? It's been put in public. It's been beat to death. When you got guys that are asking you, where's the law that supports the NLA plan? My goodness, John has said it a million times. U.S. versus Williams said, we don't need a law or a statute. It is an unalienable right. It is in the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment. You know, if you're not reading that stuff and you don't understand it, you got to ask, where is the law? And you know, that also means that you don't understand the court of record. Because if you're looking for the law, look at there's the law. Where's the law? Thornton had a big thing on about the law, right? And all those guys that were out there saying, there's no law, there's no law. And Thornton said, I'll show you where the law is. When the IRS goes into court and opens up a court of record and says, willful failure to file, guess what? They just told you what the law was. So it's up to the people to make the law. We don't need statutes on books. And obviously, William Tyler Real is still a slave because he doesn't understand what freedom is. He makes a lot of remarks that tell me that he's not even at stage one of this thing. He wants to do sheriff's brigades. He wants to come in with force. This is all about being impatient. It's all about using the sword over the pen. And what we discovered almost, you know, by natural and maybe even by accident when we went to the sheriff, and that is, look at that sheriff. Yes, he's the America's last hope. He can stand there if he has the ability and the understanding to turn the federal government back when they're doing something. But when you're going after local officials in a county, the sheriff can go in and he can arrest or he can do whatever he wants to do. But guess what? It goes to the prosecutor when he's done with it, or even before he's done with it. He needs the prosecutor to push the case. And if the prosecutor doesn't, guess what? It gets dropped, and that's it. So between the prosecutor and the judge, and that's why we said lock the strong man down in the county, and that's the judge. Because that sheriff works for that court. And then when they say, here's another good one, number two. How are the jurors and their families and property going to be protected if the jurors take any action? If they don't take any action, what's the point of the NLA plan? See, they want us to come out like baseball bats. First of all, he doesn't understand. When we take action, it's going to be because we're sitting in the court. We're going to have the protection of the sheriff. We're going to have the protection of the marshals. We're going to have the protection of the state police. We're going to have the protection of everybody because we're not operating outside the court at that point. He doesn't understand what we're doing. And how are the grand jury's presentment and indictments going to be enforced? If you don't understand how we're going to – look, we're doing the indictments against the judges and the clerks and stuff that are keeping us out of court. How are they being enforced? We put them into court. We push them upstairs. The judge has to act on them. That the procedure enforces them. That's why these judges are getting indicted. If they don't know how we're enforcing them, that means they missed the last 6 months of what we're doing. The enforcement is in the procedure. And when something comes across an official like a judge's desk and he refuses to act when he should, he indicts himself. He commits a crime, and we tell him that, and we put him in the paperwork, and then we move it upstairs. All those names are going upstairs. If you don't think that that's enforcement, talk to those judges whose name we have on those papers and tell me if they're not nervous. They are, and one of the reasons is these other groups are riding our coattails is because we put such credible stuff through that just by mentioning our name, they back up because they know our stuff. They can't answer us. Because our stuff is so pure, and they don't want to get into court with us because we have all the authorities. We have the Supreme Court's own words, and we have the forefathers' words, and we have that all documented. See, they can't answer us in a court directly. You know, they want to play this fiction game, and they know that we won't play it. So, you know, many of those are trying to use our success and our knowledge and use our name to back up some of these officials, you know? what is the lawful common law procedures for filing? Do I need to answer that? Is that a question that somebody should even be asked? What are the lawful common law procedures for filing? Well, read our paperwork. The lawful procedures are the procedures of the court. There's nothing wrong with the way our forefathers set up the system and the checks and the balances. What it is they're not paying attention to the Constitution. They're violating it. They're putting a fiction in place. The lawful procedure are in place. We're using them every day, you know? And of course, then he gets into why is a citizen a slave? I mean, he thinks you need the 14th Amendment in order to participate in the government. Well, that tells me right there that he doesn't understand anything. You know, the other thing that goes hand in hand with this is there's people out there that believe that the Bill of Rights is only on a federal level. It doesn't count in the state. Now, who put that crazy idea forward? I have no idea, but it's a lie from hell that somehow the Bill of Rights is only on a federal level and the states are free to beat you and rip your flesh from your ribs and the federal government can't say anything about that. You have no rights that come down from the Bill of Rights, that the states are free to do what they want. That's an aberration of freedom. I can't believe anybody would even believe that, you know. And what are the true holdings and results of U.S. versus Williams? That's not what the case is about. The dicta he put in there explaining what the grand jury is, how it acts, all that stuff that he put the authorities, that's what we're right on. I don't care it was about exculpatory evidence that was withheld by the prosecutor. That's fine. That's a minor point. The point that he made is he took that opportunity of exculpatory evidence being withheld, and it was a grand jury and a jury type thing to explain that system to people back in 91, and it took us all these years to finally somebody to grab a hold of this thing, and it took us a while too. We were like, holy mackerel, because we're such slaves to get your head around that, you know, and you know, there's other questions he's asking in here that we've answered so many times, and I'm so tired of it. You look at, if you're paying attention, if you're going through the material that we have, that we have a test that everybody is supposed to take in order to become an administrator. That's very, very important, because we've had people, even early on, people used to do this. They didn't want to watch the videos. They didn't want. They said, "Listen, just tell me how to do the election. Just tell me this. Just tell me that. I don't want to read all that other stuff." Well, that's like those terrorists that said, "Just show me how to fly the plane. I don't want to land it." That's who these people are. I don't want to know how to land it or take off. I just want to fly it. You get it flying, and I'll jump in the seat. And I'll take us where we're going. Yeah, they're going to crash us into something like a big building. Anyway, I'm not going to. You know, I've answered, so I look at in the email I sent him, I answered about four questions based on principles. He's asking basic principle questions.
Did he post it on his site?
Yeah, it's posted all over the place. It's been going on.
No, did he post the answers on his site?
What answers?
You know, if you said you answered some of these things.
I answered an email, and I said, look, he doesn't want to learn.
Okay, because he's got this on the site. This is on a site, and I think, I got the Google Analytics on it, and he's got about six people a month that hit that site.
Yeah, if every has-beens wannabe that comes along, asks us questions and makes claims, and we got to run around and start back from square one, back in kindergarten, you know what I mean? We're up to brain surgery now. They want us to go back to kindergarten and tell them how to do brain surgery. They need to get up to speed. They need to, all the materials out there. I mean, if they have any questions on some of this fundamental stuff, you know, we've answered them on Monday. Some of that stuff can get answered on Thursday. But I can tell you right now, he never, you know, he read the first stuff that we put out a year ago. And that's what he's basing everything on. You know how much we've grown in a year? You know how many things we've found out by being there and doing it? And how many times we've changed our strategy based on what was revealed to us? Look, we're kind of rolling with the punches here, and we're trusting in God. And he wants, and everybody wants to know where we're going and what we're doing. And basically, look, we're following the procedures that are in place that our forefathers gave us for liberty. Whatever comes out of that, we don't know where we're going to go or how we're going to go. That's up to God. And I can't give you the answers of what our next step is going to be. I mean, it's based on, you know, what they do. And then look, our things are always going to be based on the same principle of that. You can be sure, you know, it's going to be honor, justice, and mercy. You know it's going to be common law. You know it's going to be the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's where we're going. Now, if you know those things, what they are, you'll know where we're going to go, because it's a natural response. When you start living this stuff and you start understanding it, it's almost like you can't go any other place. So based on what they do is based on what we're going to do. And look, we might not make it up to the Supreme Court. We might not have to. All we need is some judge to understand what we're doing and have the courage to go ahead and sign that paper and put it in. And so I'm laying this William Tyler Real Sheriff's Brigade thing to bed. I'm not answering it anymore. It's not even worth, like John says, he's got six people a month coming to his site. And every time you hear something or somebody sees a YouTube video, you know, you got to back up and check things out. Don't get all excited. Just like they say, oh, there's a revolution. There's millions of people in Washington. Those are all hoaxes. We know they're hoaxes. There's not millions of people marching on Washington and there's a news blackout, because, my goodness, if that's true, then all the alternative media fell on their faces, didn't they? You know what I mean? I mean, I saw this thing come out. Oh, this, look, they're doing this. They got it. Everybody's getting ready for civil war. They're in Washington. Millions of people are caught. That's a bunch of baloney, you know? That's not happening, because I know alternative sources that would be on it, and they're not. So obviously it's a lie. And so one of the things I learned early on in the Internet, you know, when somebody sends you something and they promise to make you a lot of money or make any other claims, and it sounds really good, you get all excited and you get into all the flashy colors. It took me a while to get into the habit of doing this, because we want to believe, You know, we're trusting by nature. And so, you know, go in and Google the thing and do a little research. You know, there's everybody's opinions on the net. So if you got something that you're looking at, put the guy's name in and do a little of your own research. And you'll always find somebody that's against him. So read the other opinion against him and then read some of the other ones and come to your own conclusion. But don't put this stuff. I get emails all the time about all this crazy crap that's going on, and people just throw it out there like it's a fact, and then they want me to answer it. I can't, you know, we can't get involved with all that sensational garbage. Our thing is sensational enough. We don't need that crap. Now, the other side is going to want to make us look kooky. The other side is going to want us make like we want war. They're calling us paper terrorists, which sounds kind of ridiculous. And I think they're starting to realize that they don't, you know, they're a paper tiger themselves. And so they want to turn us into this sovereign citizen murdering something. You know what I mean? And you got to be careful. You know, I had a guy that comes in here. He runs around the town and blabs his mouth all night, bah, bah, bah. And he said something like, and we were talking about winning the lottery or whatever, and he said, what would you do if you won the lottery? And we're having a lot of trouble in our town. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. They're really going off the deep end. I said, I'd buy the whole town. I'd own it. And he said, what would you do with it then? I said, well, I would burn it down and start over. So he comes in a week later and he says, well, you said the other day that if the town messed with you, you were going to burn it down. So he took my words out of context. And I said, don't you say that. That's not what I said. I said, once I owned the town, I would burn it and start over. That's different than if they mess with me, I'm going to burn it down. That's the stuff that you get FBI right now. Oh, you're going to burn the town down, make us look like a bunch of kooks, right? That's what they want. That's what they're trained for. That's why they got all those big SWAT trucks and everything. You know, meanwhile, we got Grandma and Uncle Harry, and we got our pens, and we got our books, and we're apple pie, and we're America. You know, they went after the Tea Party people. They went after that whole Glenn Beck thing, and they got off it because everybody understands how ridiculous it is. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they got off. Look at who they got listed as terrorists. You know what? I like their list. I'm proud to be on that list with those people that they list as terrorists because they're patriotic people. These people like the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law, they have lost all credibility, the amount of people that they could influence. As a matter of fact, if you're not on their list, then something's wrong. You're not doing something right. So I'm going to stop now. Because I just want people to realize that you can't be impatient and you can't give credibility to every kook that comes out with a YouTube video. You know, I mean, we haven't been doing YouTube videos, but, you know, I've kind of been saving that for the big push when you know, because, look, when we come into power, one of the methods that they're going to use to try to stop us is to try to discredit us first. You know, and then they'll persecute us if they can, and then when they realize that they can't stop it, they can't discredit, they can't stop it, then what they'll do is they'll try to figure out a way that makes it look like they put the reform in instead of us. That's their final trick, is to make everybody believe that they fixed themselves somehow, you know, and believe me, they're going to try that. So... I lost my train of thought of where I was going, but I think that's enough anyway.
We'll get back.
Yeah, it's getting late, so I'm sure there's people that have
questions.
This
is the longest we've ever went to without taking a call. It was like an hour and 40 minutes now. But just two more things real quick. I just want to say something about David Robinson up in Maine there. David Robinson, I don't think, is the enemy. David Robinson just did a silly, stupid thing, really, without thinking. I don't think he realized he had good intentions. I know what he said, and you know what he's saying is to somewhat needs to happen if a rogue governor comes out after the people. But it was just a silly thing that he said. He put it in public. He shouldn't have done it. I really did not want to remove David Robinson. I know him. I've spoken with him. Other people, like I said, that was with us when we made the decision. One other person knew him. In fact, you've spoken with Dave too before, I think, Gerard. But, you know, the guy just did something dumb, and we had no choice. But to really make the point really hardcore, we have nothing to do with that kind of a position. And we had no choice but to remove him from the site immediately. Not only because, you know, for everyone's sake, everyone that belongs to our program, all the people that have belonged to NLA, for their sake, for my sake, for your sake, we had to eliminate him from our membership.
So, organization or whatever.
Organization. Well, the membership. Right. We just had to do it, and I'm sorry I had to do it. The second thing I'd like to ask is everybody, well, I'm going to post this program tonight as soon as we're done, unless something comes up and I can't do it until the morning, but I usually do it the night I finish anyway. And when you get a chance, go up there and download it. If you if you right-click tonight's program, and then you click on Save As, is probably what it says. Matter of fact, I'll go there real quick and make sure we know exactly what it says. Just give me a second to get there. Yeah, if you go up to it and you right-click it, and then you click Save Link As, and, you know, can use the date and save it on your desktop, put it away someplace in a file. Everyone should have a copy of tonight's, because I think tonight's program lays out National Liberty Alliance position, and the people who are going to talk after this, I'm sure it's going to be everybody's in agreement with our position that we had to do these things and that we have nothing to do with this stuff. And this way, no way could they come and try to do anything to us claiming that we were part of this when we have on tape, and also people have it everywhere. They can't come after us. So that's key, and that's one of the protections. The other thing is the email we sent out. Please post our message everywhere for people to know this is not our position. All right, with that, I think we're going to move now to taking phone calls. Sorry it took so long. But let's go to our first phone caller. Norma, is it? Let's see. Next question. Norma. Looks like you're from Jersey.
It's Jason, John.
Oh, Jason, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm using my wife's phone. It's better, better communications. Very good, well thought out. We have to be in tune to each other and the policies and procedures that we're going through, and taking the lead. And as much as we would love to go out there and squish some roaches, we have to make sure that they are actual roaches. And
can you get a little closer to your mic? Because I'm having a little problem. There you go. Much better.
That better. Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
And we're doing a fantastic. I did send out I'm part of the group working with the 20 some odd county. States to get themselves reconstituted, sending out information, trying to.
Okay. Have you talked with Sheila about that?
I communicated to Sheila twice and never got a call back.
Okay, go give her another call if you need to. If you want to get involved with a national level and see what it is that she needs for you to do, though.
Well, I'm working with Hunt and the other group that we had. We have our Thursday meetings, and we're doing a fantastic job. People getting up there, and I did send out information to you and Gerard to keep you you fellows informed of what we're doing. And
okay, well, one of the problems we have is we've been getting reports that different people are doing different things trying to organize nationally. So what we want to do is we want to coordinate it so that we don't duplicate ourselves. Coordinate whatever work that you you could do on a national level with Sheila. Sheila's got a plan, and she's got the entire country broken up into four parts, and she's got people working in all four of these parts. And if you want to become part of the team, find out from her what it is that she can have you do. But how's Jersey coming along? Because I know Jersey, we still need leadership in some counties. And I know I'm back here in New York focusing in on New York myself. Yeah. We have a Wednesday night meeting, and I try to make every one of them. And I really push hard. Thankfully, we've got a lot of people in New York that are active in doing things, so they take most of the weight on organizing. But I do participate in New York, too, because we've got to get our states organized.
Yes.
Now, we have a plan that we believe by the end of the month, thereabout, that being July, every state in the union will be done. It's a possibility. We may have two, four, or five states that are not done, but we do have a plan. We have a couple of more states that will be coming on board, I believe, this week or over the weekend next week, over the weekend or next week. And we're going to be going over the 50% mark. And so let's not duplicate our efforts. Let's come together.
Well, I would love the. I am working with what I've sent out starting in March and following what I put together, and I would love to have Sheila be on the Thursday call. That would be super. Again, I just send out information of who's taken on what states were doing it. I'd like to thank Hawaii, Arkansas, and Montana, who were not yet constituted at the time, and helping other states do that, and that's dedication.
All right, you know what you want to do then? Yeah, get a hold of Sheila. Give her the information to come in that Thursday call, and maybe what time is the call at?
The call is on Thursday at 8 p.m.
If you could send it to me and Gerard, maybe we'll come on too. But I do want to bring you together to deal together, and we have one focus, and we don't duplicate, and we don't confuse people. Because that's what I'm hearing is going on, and I think there's other people that are doing this too. And God bless them for doing it, but we got to come together. And since Sheila has really kind of spearheaded this, and she's got a great plan and a lot of people involved, and the whole country broke up in four parts, and it's mostly women, and she's doing such a fantastic job. These states are coming on one after another. Every week we get new states. So let's stay together and work together and not... double our efforts. Let's work it out.
Well, again, breaking it up, and with each state taking on at least 3 to 4 states to help them along. Sometimes it's
what states you working with?
I'm working with Delaware, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Okay.
And then Michigan's working.
Well, that sounds good. Again,
All right. What is Sheila's email? Because I can send her information, keep her.
Oh, well, just get on the phone with her. She's under Maine and Massachusetts as a state.
I know, John. I've left the message. I just want to get the email. That way I can send it.
Oh, I don't know. If you go out, let me think about this.
Well, you can send it on to me.
All right, I'll have to get a hold of you. I'll get a hold of you. I'll give you a call maybe tomorrow. We'll talk, and I'll get you the email and stuff, okay?
Right. That'd be good, because, again, I am not trying to I'm trying to overlap, and that was the whole point of the meeting on Thursday, to make sure that we are in tune and we are helping our fellow states and doing so we are working in unison and not duplicating, going over each other. And I just want to thank two of our people in New Jersey went out and were evangelizing the Constitution, and they were confronted by the authorities. Oh, this is a family event. We don't want to have any disruptions. I said to myself, and they videotaped themselves, what more is family-oriented than unalienable rights and to express our First Amendment right in the public forum, and to be able to even to let people hear it now? And the thing is that, well, we're getting complaints. Well, we are as people, we are entitled to know who our quote unquote our dissenters are, and if they're not going to be there, then they're invisible, or as John, you like to use the fiction that we have, and we want to be on that. But again, we'll be working on, I will be drafting a letter, a news release piece in the paper for New Jersey to get our total 84 administrators together, and also looking at the new graduates who are coming out of the colleges who right now are in limbo. But again, I'm very glad that the states that I started off with, a lot of them have been reconstituted back from March the 13th when I started that program. And I'm very happy with it. Arkansas is going to be online on 7/10, and Indiana will be on 7/12. And at that rate, they'll have a grand total of like 291 counties that would be done. and other states are coming up along, which is fantastic. And I'm heart health thanks to the fellow organizers in their states for.
All right. Well, what we'll do is let's talk about that off the air, and let's and we'll try to get a conference call going with Sheila and Josh and others that are working, and then we'll see about getting onto the Thursday call, and we'll just work together. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
Anything else?
By the way,
just real quick for everyone, real quick, the chat. I just saw the message, came over an hour ago, that the chat room is open. So, but. Anything else, Jason?
I just want to thank James and Andrew for stepping up, and I'm going to be working with them. They're doing something with the bridge crossings in New Jersey, the main highways, so I'll be working with them on that. And if anybody wants to do that in their own state, again, we got to get the word out and just be proactive, passionate, and non-combative. Because our wonderful uncivil disservants will do anything to put their bracelets on you. I'm sorry, I don't like going out with policemen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John, for the opportunity to speak to you and the rest of our people. Well, right now, how many people? We started off with 88. How many people are on now?
Well, we had 176, I think, at one point. What happens, it's hard to tell because right now we have 149 plus whatever is in the chat room, but they're on the call too. It's hard to tell because what happens is some people come on for an hour or two, then they leave, and some people come on late. So we get the report after, and we usually get about 350 or so people on the program between the 3 hours.
Well, thank you so much, John, and thank everyone who's out there doing their best. And remember, God has a plan for us, and pray, and God will deliver. Whoever your faith is, God will deliver. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Our next caller is a 865. You've been unmuted. 865-292, you've been unmuted.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sorry, my phone was muted. I finally got some responses back from other editors that had been posting that that letter that we're discussing. They found the information and they sided with us. We've only got that one site that's actually backing Mr. Williams. That's the only site that still has it actively on there. I found some Facebook pages with it, media pages, but nothing too serious. But if you now Google that page,
off of WordPress, Gene Haynes or something like that?
Yeah, that's what it is, and it's got a bunch of.
Okay, because I spoke with Thomas from the Drake Show, okay, and they invited me on to the Drake Show, and they told me what was going on there is that they know that Drake has been backing us up and talking a lot about us. They have us on and so on and so forth. And and quite a few of his people came over onto the National Liberty Alliance and have joined the forces, you know, come on to become part of what we're doing. We're not bringing people over to his program, and he understands that. This is people doing people business grassroots. But anyway, this person...
What else
that
I was
going to
say
this,
is that... Our disclaimer now shows up on Google underneath that letter that's been posted where Mr. Williams keeps boasting, saying that you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And right underneath his link shows National Liberty Alliance's disclaimer, and then where I've been on Google Plus for so long, mine's right underneath it.
Right.
So when they see that, they'll see our disclaimer right underneath it if they Google it.
Well, if you can get anything out on this WordPress thing with Gene Haynes, that would be good if we can get it printed. But here's the story that I heard, that these people don't like Drake, and they're trying to get through Drake by discouraging, you know, discounting us as some crazy group because they believe that we're, you know, that Drake talks about us. So, and that's just they're being opportunists on this. So that's the story I'm hearing. So if anybody can get out to that WordPress page for Gene Haynes or Jay Haynes, and post the truth, that'd be good, and let their readers read the truth from our perspective. But I'm not going to worry too much about it. This might be good advertisements for us, you know, ultimately. All things work together for those who believe and trust the Lord. So this may be a springboard for us. Who knows? But we're just going to stay on the truth and stay focused.
It's that Jane WordPress thing. That's the only one I can't really get to or have gotten any responses. But right under it, you'll see our disclaimer from that letter. So we should be in good shape as far as people not doing too much damage, I guess.
Right. What I'm going to do, if I can get this going, I don't know why I can't. Hang on a second.
And sorry about the chat room thing. My DNS server was down, and I had to send the IP address to the tech guy, and he got it fixed.
Okay, great. All right, well, as soon as I can, for some reason I can't highlight this page. Let me go back one page. Maybe I can highlight that page. Yeah, I can't.
As
soon
as
I can, I'll highlight this page, which you're talking about, on this person's WordPress thing. And others can go out there as soon as I can get it out into the text chat. Others can go out there and maybe, you know, make
some.
Yeah,
there's still one YouTube video that's out there. I can't get a response from that guy either, but for the most part, it's down.
Okay. All right.
All right, well, that's all I had to throw in there, but I'll keep up on this.
All right, I appreciate it. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Let's see, Gina. 732 is the next caller. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Okay. And everybody on the call, how you doing? I was listening to everything, and I'm just speaking from my own life experience. You know, when you stated about we're fighting a spiritual warfare, that is so true.
Right.
And when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, you have to have patience. You cannot give in to the evils that be thrown at you, because that's how the adversary operates. He wants to make you, you know, impatient and just not able to think, and you do the wrong thing. So if you stay on the side of right, you can be triumphant, because I had to take a lot. You know, my family was destroyed by the system. They tried to destroy us in every way possible that you can think of. I won't go into that, but I lived this spiritual warfare personally. And I know how, you know, how they operate. And they don't play fair. They're dirty in every aspect. But it takes strength to be triumphant. And I look at the good. I look at the divine intervention that's going on with National Liberty Alliance and what God is showing me. And I see what's going on with the adversary, whatever, whoever that guy, Joaquin or whatever he's doing. He is there to put a wrench in it and try to make a distraction. And so, you know, doing a disclaimer and everything is a great thing that you have done.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I want to talk about, the reason why they don't want, you know, us to do what we're doing, because they know once an investigation is done on whatever case it is, you can bring out the facts, you can bring out the truth, and that's what they don't want. And that's
right.
What we need. We need to be able to obtain justice, have our cases investigated, and then if someone says, well, you did this, or this is why we did this to you, well, let's investigate. Let's bring out the facts.
Right.
And they have a problem with investigations and bringing out the facts. And I learned, I said, wait a minute, I served in the United States Army, got an honorable discharge. I got one ticket, two tickets in California. They claim I was speeding. I got rid of those by going to traffic school or whatever. And then to have all the evil come against me and my family and not be able to have the, you know, you go to your congressman, you go to FBI, you file papers, you do all this, and everybody's against you, that's when I start realizing this spiritual warfare is real. This is
absolutely
not no fantasy here. This is real. It is operating at full force. And you have to stand. You have to stand on your principles, like you said. You have to be strong. And remain honorable, because they want you to do something out of character, out of pocket, to justify what they're doing. And it's hard to do. In that statement when they say the pen is mightier than the sword, when you do an investigation and you sign those papers with truth, you can beat your enemy. You know, you don't
That's
have
right.
to, you don't
affidavit,
have to
swear. Affidavit is truth in a court of law. Affidavit rules. If you do an affidavit and you're willing to swear this is the truth, and you do it in an affidavit form and you put it into that court, that rules as facts and as truth. The other side is supposed to, you know, rebut that and put their facts out, and I never see them do it. Why? Because they're evil. They're not going to put it down and swear to it, because they know they're lying. And
right.
So they never do. They make it look like affidavits. I see that all the time. It looks like an affidavit. Mm-hmm. You know, the judge, the lawyer will come in and do an affirmation and an affirmation of truth. Oh, wait a second. You're a third party. You're hearsay. You have nothing to do. Where's his papers? Oh, well, he swears anything I say is true. No, that's not an affidavit. No, that's not how it works. You're a third party. You weren't there. Or they'll have someone sign a paper, and it'll say sworn statement. They do this with the police reports often. They'll say sworn statement, and then they sign it under penalty of law. But that's not a sworn affidavit. It has to have the notary signature. It has to have a justice of the peace or a notary signature verifying that you swore to what you said on that paper, and that's your signature, and they looked at your ID or they know you. And that's a sworn affidavit. And they never, ever, ever, ever have it.
They never have it, never. And they're using never. The judges as the one to go to sign off on all the corruption that's going on, whether you have a court order. Well, for the judge to sign a court order, how can he sign a court order? If he reviewed the case, he could not sign 90% of these court orders because he doesn't have any sworn affidavits, he doesn't have any verified anything. So how can he sign anything or verify, sign a court order to have them to go after whomever? Mm-hmm. But they're letting right. all this go through, you know, and just tearing up people's lives. And I just wanted to read something because I know when you're on the side of right and you
before you read, I just want to say two things. Number one, I put out the link to that website where Eric Williams responds to the posting of David Robinson's article, and this was done on July 5th. So anybody wants to go out to this site, and if they can post something on behalf of National Liberty Alliance and set it to the truth, that'll be helpful. One other thing, because I just saw this in the text chat, someone wants to know what the meaning of the bold underlined under the certain states and not other states. That's sort of just a signal to Sheila to let her know that those are the states that I have received the seals from, the unified seals for the states. The ones that are not underlined, I have not received seals from them yet. And so... you know, as I receive seals, I will underline those states. That's what that's about. All right, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Finish up what you wanted to say now.
Okay, once people realize that we're in a spiritual warfare and they're on the side of right, they won't worry. And I just want to say that no weapon formed against National Liberty Alliance will prosper. That's how I feel. You know, I believe, I trust in God, and I know that he's chosen us and whomever he's bringing into the fold to do his will. But this mm-hmm. is his battle because you go through life and you say, wait a minute, if I was in control, would I have allowed this to happen? Would I have allowed this to happen? So you realize, wait a minute, God is in control. And he lets certain people go but so far. And when they talk about his mercy, I didn't get a full understanding. To me, his mercy is when people are unrighteous and he lets things go on and on and on, he's giving them an opportunity to become righteous. And it's a season and time for everything. At a certain point, he's like, wait a minute, I've given you guys a substantial amount of time, and you're just bowling over my people. Now it's time for me to step in. And that's what I see what's going on here, and they know that, and they feel every bit of that. And that's why we're moving at a exponential rate right now, because it's time for us to receive justice and those who have been hurt, and plus, you know, the people who will benefit from this in the future. But I just want to read this, and then I'll get off because I know time is running out, about the spiritual realm being real. The spiritual realm is a real unseen existence, alive and active. There is a war going on of Satan and his demonic spirits against God and his angels and praying saints. Good. This war is for the possession of your soul, mind, will, and emotions and dominate the unredeemed spirit of that person. The devil gives people excuses and reasons to believe God does not exist or that he is afar off. The devil is also trying to persuade people into thinking they don't need God or that he is a weak God. The devil, Lucifer, is a created being, a fallen cherub angel, who became twisted on the inside. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which weakened the nations? Isaiah 14:12. The only power the devil has is the power you give him over yourself by believing his lies. These lies are like a trap or a snare that take people captive. The devil, the enemy of God, and his evil followers on this planet are always trying to draw you and me away from our Heavenly Father, a relationship with him and his plan for our lives. Most people don't even realize when they are deceived or ensnared. That is how slick or devious the devil is. The most dangerous thing I see in people that allows this deception to occur is pride. Pride is blindness to God and the reality that we need him. We need God. Pride tells us that we can do things without God's help or intervention. That is dangerous. Through pride, we become blinded, set in our minds and hearts to go another way, stiff-necked, with a bad attitude, hard-hearted, and rebellious against or opposing God. When blinded like that, we can believe a lie or think we are okay even when we are not. God is the turning point. The turning around place is in him. We need God's help. We need God. That's the key. And once, you know, once we all come into that realization and we stay on the side of right, it gets painful, very painful when you want to lash out or whatever, but no, that's not what he wants us to do, because that's feeding into the enemy. And mm-hmm. I just want to say that I you're doing an excellent job here, John, and thank you to you and all those who are working hard to make this become a reality, and we just got to keep it going. We look at the numbers going up, and we look at the good, and that's what I have to do in my everyday life when I feel myself feeling burdened or worried, trying to, you know, just stress. I have to focus on the good that's going on, and that gives me inspiration to keep on going. And that's, I just wanted to say that.
All right, Gina, I appreciate that. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Before I go to the next call, I just want to respond to some things out there in the text chat concerning the seals. Illinois, I have not received that yet, but I have not. The last time I was at the mail was on Thursday. Friday was the 4th, and this weekend I didn't go for the holiday weekend. I was supposed to go there today, but I never made it, but I'll go there tomorrow. If it's there tomorrow, anything that comes in tomorrow, I will get up there and post online. I'll put the name of the state in bold it and put an underline on it. Now, there are two other states that I have received that we do have a problem with. One is Kansas. I don't know if Sheila got a hold of you. I think I told Sheila about this, but maybe I didn't. The seal was done in an ink stamp, and that's not a seal. The seal has to be an embossed seal. We'll kind of keep it here and use it. They don't know, probably. But we do know under common law for a seal to be bona fide, it must be an embossed seal. So you've got to get an embossed seal. So as soon as Kansas can get an embossed seal and resend the 6, please do. Meanwhile, we do have it on file. The other one was coming in from Indiana. Indiana sent it in, but they left the red ink on the page. It says impress seal here, and that's okay. That's not a big thing. But underneath it, and it goes into the seal, it says make 6 copies and mail to Tradewinds, and it gives the address and Hyde Park, blah, blah, blah. I can't white it out because I can't hurt the document. So if you can, when you get a chance for Indiana, just resend it, but take that red out. It shouldn't be in there. And that'll be it. Okay, let me go to the next caller. And meanwhile, Illinois, I'll look for yours. And again, if it comes tomorrow, you'll see it emboldened. If not, keep in touch with Sheila. Or just stick it in the mail again. You can just send it in regular mail. I don't have a problem with regular mail. I think I pretty much get everything. I've never, to my knowledge, not get something that someone sent. But maybe it's in the mail now. Okay. Next caller is wireless caller 808. Go right ahead.
My name is Paul Kimura. I'm in Hawaii.
Hey, how are you? Hello.
Good evening. One of our coordinators here in the state has suggested that we commit to making the state organization first. And I question that.
Right. Since, yeah, you can. What you need to do is come together. You could do it in one county or two. How many counties
We have four counties in Hawaii.
Okay, and how many are on the mainland?
How many on the mainland?
Well, shall I say the large body of Hawaii? I mean, you got islands, and how many, you know, where does that fall? How does that play? How does that work?
Well, there are seven islands. We have four counties. I believe we have seven islands. And we have four counties. And
okay.
One county, the county of Maui, represents three islands. Kauai represents Niihau. And, of course, there's the big island of Hawaii, which I'm on, and then the county of Oahu, where Honolulu is located. So my question is, shouldn't each county form their own organization?
Well, each county, yes, you have to get a leadership in each county, but you can constitute all of them in one place or two places if you feel it necessary. You can do all counties. Just make sure you get the news into every single county that you're doing this. Give them a week or two's notice. You call whoever people you know, if you know any Liberty groups. Of course, everybody that's in NLA, the state leadership has access to everyone that's in our system, in NLA system. Those two people should all be called. They should call family and friends, the newspapers, and again, notification to Liberty groups. And then have it. And, we have government not by majority, but by the majority that participates. And then take the voting of all four counties in that one place. And then do all the necessary paperwork, the sworn statements. The declaration in itself, it gets three signatures on it, but it does not have to have this. You know, that can wait. That could be anyone. Those three people are not saying that they were at the election, but they are part of the process, and it has been, declared. So there's a declaration that has taken place. And so they can file that at a later time. But once you do that, once you did the four counties and then you're preparing and continuing to build the leadership in those four counties, now you can get the unified seal.
Okay. So my question still remains is that one county can form the state organization.
I think so. And again, you know, I don't live in Hawaii. I'm looking at a map right now to see. You know, if we can get it, how far spread apart are these islands? How difficult is it? Do people move easily between the islands?
Away in most cases.
Huh?
It's approximately 1 hour away from most islands on an airline flight.
Okay. Is that expensive?
Yes, it can be.
Do we have any people do we have in different counties in Hawaii?
We have, that I'm aware of, three counties with names of people. We do not have a name of a person from Maui County at this time, which represents three islands, the islands of Lanai and Molokai.
Okay. Well, I definitely, you could, the three islands, the three counties that you have represented can definitely be done. And then I would take the county that's closest to the one county, the island that is doesn't have a representation in it, get something as close as possible to that island, whichever county that may be, and advertise for that one. And in this case, and I would say that they could do telephone thing if they wanted. Maybe you can advertise something like that, but it's not necessary. And then you can get those four done. The key thing at this point later on, you're going to go back and you're going to find leadership for each one of these counties because we're building administrations is what we're doing to administer the jury and the grand jury, administer to them and, you know, train them, bring them together and so on. And it is a statewide thing, ultimately. And so you're unifying and building. So I don't see a problem that way if you want to do it.
Well, thank you very much. That makes it much more clear for me. I accept the gentleman's offer to do the state here on our island, and I will cooperate with him in doing so.
Right. Yeah, and continue to look for others. I think once we start to really move into the courts, and I think that's coming up, we're going to get a landslide of people coming into the system, and I would believe that probably would be reasonably true for Hawaii and Alaska also. You know, we'll get a lot more people coming in. But, you know, whatever it takes to do, we'll do it, and we'll work with whatever leadership we have until we get more people, you know.
Well, thank you, John. Aloha.
Same to you. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Let's take the next caller. Gerard, you're coming through, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Next question is Proverbs 28:28. Right ahead. You are breaking up badly. Try it again. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know what you're coming in on, but you're coming in really bad. Try to get it. You know, it could be. Try pushing your mic in. Pull your mic out of the jack and push it back in and see. It could be a bad mic. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're not getting anything. Gerard, are you getting any of this?
No, it's not coming in at all.
Yeah, it sounds like like you have a broken wire in your mic, and it's hitting and you know on and off. It's just not. It's crackling. It's breaking up. Yeah, I'm not getting anything. You might want to do if you can put another mic in or something. We'll find another way to call us. Try it and. You know, we only got three more callers after you, so if you want, try to do that and hit back into the box. Yeah, I'm not getting anything, so let me take the next caller and try again. Okay, Neil.
Yeah, Neil in Michigan, John.
How
are
you? How you doing, Neil? What's up?
I wondered if you had some insight on the subject of court watchers. Are you familiar with what they are?
I'm kind of familiar. You know, I think I heard Thornton talk about this. I've heard some other people and people going in and being court watchers. But I'm not sure exactly how it works or what goes on or what. I mean, what we're doing is building the administration for the juries, and that administration will be a court watcher. During trials, when they have a trial, at least for a while, we're going to want to make sure that this trial is right. And so we probably will sit on it a lot, and we'll hopefully get some volunteers who will, because we'll have a lot of people who aren't administrators, but maybe able to give them a little bit of time, and they can sit on in some of these trials, and we can monitor them. But tell me more about it, and what your thoughts are.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because we're getting some people that are doing that are NLA members. And, you know, it sounds really good. They have a whole program. There are all kinds of court watchers, though. You know, there are those that do it for various reasons, whether it be family court or whatever it may be. And they specifically target those individuals with an understanding of what takes place. They have a whole script laid out. The Constitution is something that's a part of the program. And you go in basically in pairs, never singly, go into the court. Hopefully you can use a recorder, but you want to take notes and so forth. They're not in any way advocating any disturbance or any kind of disruption in the court. Or any disrespect. They're just there stating that, you know, they want to make sure that the court proceedings are done properly and to record if it is not being done properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if that's a strategy that we should be employing at this time ourselves or staying away.
Well, we at National Liberty Alliance, if we're going to put time into things, we need to put time into education and organizing and preparing what we are doing. If people who are coming in working with us are already involved in that, or even if you're with us and you want to get involved with that, they can too. I mean, you could do. Everybody could do whatever they want. I mean, we do want to really get our program done and through the process, because once we're in there, we're not going to really need too much of the court watchers. And of course, that'll always be good and it'll always be welcomed and definitely is great to have. But the thing is they're going to find that the court's going to run under common law and correctly, and there's going to be true justice taking place. That's what they're going to find once we get situated, established, and get the masses educated. And by the way, the education, I did file all the paperwork with our tech. All my work is done for the process of putting the test up online. I'm hoping to hear back from him tomorrow with a price. And what it's going to cost, it's quite a few pages. It's hundreds of pages, ultimately. I think it's, let me think, it's definitely well over 100, maybe 200. I haven't really counted them. But in any event, it's going to be a little bit of work involved. So as soon as I get a price, I'll know. If we have enough money to go forward and do it right away, we will. If not, we will be putting out an email asking people to give and to help get this course up online. But it is completed. I have laid it out in a way for my tech and made notes, and I got all that to my tech. And like I said, tomorrow I'm hoping to have an interview with him on price and get some kind of an idea how long it's going to take him to put it together. So that's an important thing we all need to do. We've got to get this education going, and we got to do that right away.
Right.
But I like the court watcher idea. It's a good idea. Anybody wants to involve themselves, they should. Just be polite and nice. And if you do see a problem that you have to deal with, and I don't know what the process is or the procedure, but I would think at least you wouldn't say anything in that courtroom. You would make some kind of a report of some kind type and maybe get that out to the judge or talk to the judge. Or, I don't know. What's the process if they find problems?
Well, I guess the whole idea is that you pretty much just through your presence, the judge knowing that you're there, that you you present a little bit of intimidation,
mm-hmm.
and it makes them feel like they need to stick closely to their laws and rules.
And well, I did meet a court watcher once.
Excuse me?
I did meet a court watcher once. I went to a court case that I was at. They brought a camera. They introduced themselves to me. We talked. They came up doing Bob Schultz's case. And this is about, goodness, I think 2 months ago or so, 3 months ago, 2 months ago maybe. And they did record the case, and the court did allow him to come in with the cameras, and he did what he had to do. But they still, and I want to tell you something, Bob Schultz did a wonderful job. He even kind of put in there some common law stuff, whether he realized it or not. He did a really good job on it. Blew the other side out of the water totally. Even in their own standards, they didn't have a leg to stand on. They looked like a bunch of idiots, and Bob Schultz shined like a pearl. And nevertheless, the judge ruled the other way. The fix had already been in. I don't know if court watchers have the ability to realize that. It was clear to me that the whole thing was a sham. You know?
Well, they didn't rule on that case yet.
I thought Bob said he lost.
No, not that one.
Really?
Well, he's still waiting for her to rule.
Oh, I could have sworn he lost on that one. Okay, well, I have to eat my words. Let me take it back then. But he
well,
did a
last
great
time
job.
I had breakfast with him here, 2 weeks ago. He said they were still waiting, unless you talk to him.
Yeah, I haven't talked with him since before. It was before that I talked with him. I'm pretty sure he told me that she ruled against him, but
maybe
that was
another
case.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess Tony would know.
Yeah, we should ask Tony about it. Is Tony online? Tony, if you're here, hit the button, and if you could tell us if there's anything on that case. But in any event, Bob did a marvelous job on that. If she hasn't ruled yet, I think I know where it's going to go anyway. As a matter of fact, this was a rehearing of the case because she has already ruled against him. So this was a rehearing. But we'll see what happens, you know. Anything else, Neil?
No, that pretty much covers it. Thank you so much, John.
Okay, appreciate your time. Okay, next caller, 570-309. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I am in the federal court because of the speeding ticket on the national park area. And what I found is that the national park area is serviced by the National Park Service, so it is a park ranger contract by the National Park Services. And basically, the Title 16, Section 465, basically states that the any federal land within the state shall have a criminal and civil jurisdiction. And regardless of what the law says, the code says, they pull me into federal court. And then I mention it that, the code basically states that this court doesn't have any jurisdiction. The U.S. attorney doesn't want to review the case. And further, she claims that I am a sovereign citizen and I'm a resident of Pennsylvania. And she uses case law that is fraudulent. When I look at it online, actually that case that she used is actually founded unconstitutional, so I think the case was closed.
Mm-hmm.
So you are
that is kind of strange.
That was the best they could come up with, right?
Yeah. What kind of an offense was this?
It's a speeding ticket and no registration. No insurance.
Yeah, that's real, real easy because you're absolutely right. There is no jurisdiction there. And go to the Constitution because if you want to know what their jurisdiction is, the Constitution is clear.
Oh, yeah, you know what? The judge says you're not getting grand jury and you're not getting jury. I said, objection. She said, no, you're not getting it.
Well,
you're not getting the grand jury.
Because you're in equity. He's operating in equity, so you have to challenge that equity. And he's operating under chancery. And you have to challenge that entire jurisdiction and make him say what jurisdiction it is. And I would go very specific. I'd read, I think it's in Article 3, I think it's the second clause, which gives the authority of the court. And there's only two courts. One is the court of equity and the other one is the court of law. Obviously, we fall in the court of law at all points. And you need him to say which one it is. And he won't say it, but then he's fraud on a court. That's what I would declare.
You know, actually, what I found is the United States District Court, upper lowercase court, or all capitalized United States District Court, is actually is a court of District of Columbia or Canal Zone.
You got to understand something. Every one of these courts is created by the authority of the Constitution. They can capitalize, they can do this, they can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is it's legislated, even though they claim the legislators, hiddenly they claim the legislators are really corporation people. They're not really of the government, but that's what they say, and that's hidden anyway. But the bottom line is they are an Article III court. They've been brought into being by Article III. And if they're an Article III court, then obviously they have to obey Article III, and they have to obey Article 6, which requires all judges to obey, of course, federal and state, the law of the land. And so you can beat it if you word your words very, very carefully and correctly. But let me suggest this to you. We're starting a Thursday program, starting not this Thursday, following Thursday. We'll be coming on at 9 o'clock, same place, right here in this room, same phone number, everything. But it'll be Thursday from 9 till midnight for the purpose of discussing court cases, discussing court situations, giving each other some thoughts and ideas on how to approach different things, and to help people lead them where they can go to learn what and so on. And this is where you might want to bring this up, and we can talk some more on it. Because I know
basically she said, oh, can you come in? Can you come close to me? So she wanted me to enter into her jurisdiction,
right.
District of Columbia. So basically I did not cross.
coming to the palace at the spider to the fly.
So I did not enter into the court.
Well, you know what? When I went to federal court, I didn't either. But after, with hindsight, I'll go in there anytime. But I'll make the point is it's all a fraud anyway. It's a fiction. It's an imagination.
And it is. Listen to me. This is interesting. I basically told her that I would go into basically Title 4 United States Code Section 72. It says all offices shall be located in District of Columbia and exercise within the District of Columbia. So I said, your office is in District of Columbia. And I am not going to consent to go into the District of Columbia, your jurisdiction. And I basically told her that only in condition, if you are going to operate on federal republic, and represent the people of the 50 state. And further, I said, also you are not going to waive the constitutional rights. And then she didn't tell me to come in.
Well, bear in mind, listen, this is very important. The United States Supreme Court is in the District of Columbia, and they have been anointed by the people for the court to be within that district for the sole purpose of the union of the state to make sure that the law of the land, the union of the states, to make sure the law of the land is obeyed. So there's no problem going into the District of Columbia. What they're trying to do, though, is they play this at sea game, you know. I don't know if you've read Lost at Sea, but they play this at sea game. And so that when you pass through those gates, it's like going to the captain on board ship.
The prize court. It's called prize court. It's called Admiralty
Right, but
court.
But it's all fiction. It's BS. It's fiction. And if it really concerns you, what I would do, and next time I go to a federal court, I might even do this and just make the point. Hey, by the way, those gates over there doesn't mean I just came on board any ship or anything or I'm out at sea, does it? You know, see what he says. And then also make point to the fringe flag. You know, that's an admiralty flag. Are you trying to tell me what the admiralty law, is that what that's about? Get him to say the words in the court. And then the last question in that framework would be, you know, as far as I understand and I'm concerned and according to my paperwork, we're in a court of law. There are two jurisdictions, law and equity, and we're in a court of law, and I do hope we're going to proceed according to law, are we not, Your Honor? And see once again what he has to say. The other thing is right after that, even if he doesn't say anything and you object and say, wait a second, oh, that's a court of equity. As soon as they start to bring statutes in against you, as soon as they start to proceed in a way for a hearing, maybe for a motion to dismiss, a motion to throw out for no standing, a motion to this, all that is equity. It has nothing to do with common law. Excuse me, you know, I'm getting confused here, Judge. I know we're in a common law setting here, but, you know, this whole procedure is going the wrong way.
So, yes, actually, they are claiming that that's an admiralty court. So, you know, they are pulling you into the admiralty maritime jurisdiction.
Well, yeah, and what it is, so, it's really a hybrid court. It combines admiralty. They want to keep you at sea so they can apply REM and different things there. They want to keep you in the commercial thing going between states and them being in the District of Columbia and dealing with the commercial
but, you know,
the state.
Actually,
and then they
the
tie in this strange stuff, which is the commercial
actually,
stuff.
Actually, on the international law, the maritime, regards to the international law, basically we have a right to reject the offers. So I actually returned
Absolutely.
The tickets, you know, and then so basically I said this court is admiralty court. So let's say this is admiralty court. I never did any commercial activities to prove it, mm-hmm. you know. And when I was traveling, I never did any carrying any person or a property or things for compensation. So prove it, you know. Mm-hmm. And they cannot prove it. So if
no,
I go into admiralty court, they cannot prove that I did a commercial activity.
Right, but what you want to do is challenge the jurisdiction, and that's where your argument is. Forget about anything else. There's nothing to talk about till
jurisdiction. You know what I said? I said, this U.S. attorney doesn't have any proof that I am a sovereign citizen, okay? It's all hearsay in her paperwork, and besides, she said I'm a resident. Pennsylvania, where
did
is
you
approved.
Identify yourself as one of the people?
Yeah, of course. And
there
then
you go.
I have all the documents publicly recorded, and basically, you know, I said, excuse me, the only person who could identify your true status is the Secretary of State. So who are you to tell me that you are that I'm a resident?
Right.
And there's no proof.
Thornton makes a very good point at this. He says, look, you go into court, you establish yourself as one of the people, and if you're in a state, I'm one of the people in New York, so on and so forth, in this court of record, et cetera. But, you know, once you identify yourself as one of the people, you know who you are. If they don't think you are that, then prove exactly what you're saying. Prove. Look, Your Honor, I don't know what you're doing over there. I've already identified myself as one of the people. If you
and, you know, resident
that, prove
is,
I'm not.
And I said the resident means who resides within the Commonwealth. I said, but the vehicle code said the resident is no longer resident if you declare a domicile in one of the states. So here is the declaration of domicile.
Right,
and,
but again,
and
you see what you're on a slippery slope there, though. Be careful with that because they're going to look. They have great ways to pull you into their jurisdiction. That's why I advise everyone, and I do it on myself. It's all about jurisdiction, and they ain't got it. They never have it. And they don't have subject matter jurisdiction ever because there is never, ever, ever.
So if I'm living on the land as one of the people, where is their jurisdiction?
They don't have any.
No, they don't.
Yeah. And that's there's nothing else to talk about. When you go to court, there's nothing else to talk about but jurisdiction. Because if you were in a real court, the papers would be filed. The other side would file everything they have. You would file everything they have. You have, and if there is no sworn affidavit on the other side, the whole case is just shut down. It's done.
Then I basically told the whole entire paper that hey, these codes and rules and regulations does not apply to me, and here are the case laws. Oh. And then so when I was telling the judge, you know, Title 16, 460, Section 465, that's, you know, it says the state court shall have the jurisdiction. So then she says, oh, well, the codes doesn't apply to you. Mm-hmm. So then why is she trying to persecute me by using the codes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right,
and then
Why don't we bring this up on Thursday? Because some people have complained that I get involved in court cases and they're not here for that. And, you know, I guess they're right. That's one of the other reasons why I created
this. Okay, there's one thing that is very important that I would like to tell you. The attorney says that these sentences are pretty minimal and is a less than 6 months jail term and is not a major crime and it's a petty crime, so then there isn't a grand jury is required. And then she says there's a couple tickets, so it could be more than 6 months and still it is a petty crime. Give me a break, you know?
Yeah, they're insane. That judge, you know, that judge, you can own their house. I think that would be an easy case to win, as long as you get your paperwork right and stay on point and just, you know, I only go to court once because after that everybody gets sued. If I don't belong in that courtroom, I'm only going once, and that's it. I'm not going back.
I'm
coming into my court under a lawsuit, and they're being
sued.
So
I'm bringing a lawsuit right now. I'm preparing it.
Way to do it.
Yep.
So. All right, anything else other than a court case? And again, Thursday nights will be for this purpose. Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call. Interesting, and hopefully you'll be in on Thursday. Okay, next caller is a wireless caller, 870. Go right ahead. We only got one other caller after this. Anonymous, but 620 wireless.
Hey, John, this is Johnny B.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing great. We got our embossing seal today.
Oh, okay.
I was way impressed. Excuse me. We used a local mom and pop shop. I ordered it Thursday, and they told me it would probably be Friday before they seen it because of the holiday. They called me this afternoon and said it's in house. So
yeah, they're usually pretty quick. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and prioritize a set of sealed documents to get up your all's way.
Right.
Just to circle around behind us. We are still having the state coordinator calls on Thursday nights. Anybody that wants to join in can get a hold of me or Jason in New Jersey or KR in Hawaii. We all have the contact information.
Okay.
We're going to try to get ours wrapped up before yours starts. I think it'll be a real good way to go back to back.
Yep, I appreciate it.
Outside of that, just I'm hearing good things. I hope I didn't step on any toes with my deal with the press release over the weekend. I tried to come back around and cover my tracks after I realized what I was holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess about all I got, John. How are you?
Okay. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the description. Hey, tonight is the keeper night for calls. I'm going to burn this one on CD.
Yeah, this call is very important for everyone to download and have it on their computer. This way they can never come and say that we did anything. We put it in public. We put it on the record. We put it on writing. We put it in the site. We put it on audio. And I'm going to be going on to Drake's show. I'm going to put it out there. I put it on the YouTube that was out there. I put it the disclaimer there. And every place else I can get it. Other people have been going all over the place over the past couple of days putting the disclaimer out, and hopefully people will continue to do that. The big problem we have right now is that one site that we put out there, that WordPress site, so anybody and everybody here can get out to that site and let's bombard them with the truth, saying this is all a lie and here's the position. I tried to detail as much as I could. We spent a lot of time talking about these problems earlier tonight, and so people can go back and re-listen and really get the points down clear as possible. And I'll tell you what, by downloading the two papers, one on Joaquin and the other one, you know, on the Robinson thing, and reading through that, it makes pretty clear our position. We do not get involved in these illegal things, and believe me, they are illegal. They're not. They certainly have nothing to do with common law, so they don't stand up there at all. And now, once you do those things, you're in their domain and you're in their jurisdiction. And believe me, they are going to crucify you. So you got to stay out of there. I stay as far as I can from that. I've been telling from the beginning, I do not do commercial stuff at all. The only advice I might give to people that they might want to do is on the foreclosures, because believe me, they run like the devil. Once you lay out the fact that they've been paid, because you're just telling them the fraud, they run like the devil. So other than that, I don't mess with them. Don't file a commercial lien. You know, if you know what you're doing, filing a commercial lien, some people are able to get away with it, but you're in their domain. You better really know what you're doing. But clearly with an MLA, we have nothing to do. We're working with juries. Juries don't file, commercial liens. We file papers. We file information, bills of information. We file true bills. And that's what we do, nothing else. We, you know, that belongs in the trial court. The trial court decides what's going to happen. Not us. That's not our job.
Hey, so, maybe you can clarify this for me real quick, John.
Yeah.
Who is it that files the indictment? Is that the court?
The grand jury files the indictment.
Grand jury files the indictment. Okay, that's
absolutely
what I thought, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah. But the grand jury
file it with the judge, not with the prosecutor.
With the court clerk. They file it with the court clerk.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
With the
clerk
who takes it to the judge. Right.
Right. And the court clerk puts it through the process. There is no choice. Nobody can remove a paper legally once it's filed with the clerk. It must now go through the process. If they think that that paper is illegal, they got to take it into the court and argue it. And argue the fact that they think it's illegal. And they will never do that with us, that's for sure.
Hey, I had an interesting thing I want to just put in real quick. This came down from some official in my county in the courts. This is how you know you're making somewhat of an effect. He was talking about this grand jury movement in this county and throughout the state and that. And he said, they'll never get anything done, he said, because he said, in this area anyway, or this state, he says, everybody either you know, works for the state or they're in jail. He said, there'd be too many people losing their job if they cleaned up the courts. This is what he believes, that it's not going to happen because all the police and all the prison guards and that whole system is supporting the state taking care of these prisoners. So that's the mindset. In other words, it's like the banking thing. They're too big to fail. We can't close this corruption down because that's what feeds us. Can you imagine?
Yeah, they're insane. They're insane.
But he's admitting it.
Yeah.
I suspect the guy wouldn't tell me who said it, so I suspect it was one of the judges, but it's some official up there that said this. You know what I mean? It might even be our, you know, our illustrious clerk there, because he's pretty smart. I don't know how he stated it, but that is kind of a fact. You know, when the grand jury gets in, and one of the things they did say is you can't let those people in because we'll all go to jail. So it's like they're already convicting themselves. They already know what they're doing is illegal. And besides that, 50% of the people in this county work for the state. Mm-hmm. You know? So they don't think it'll ever get done because they think that it's too much money that would, you know, not go into jobs, as if we couldn't turn that money into more productive jobs rather than watching prisoners.
Right. People should go out and get real jobs.
That's right. Okay. I yield.
Okay. We finished, John. John, are you still there? Are we finished?
Yes, sir. I yield.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Next caller, Anonymous. Got two more callers after Anonymous. Anonymous.
John?
Yes.
It's Rosanna.
How you doing?
Hey, okay. Yeah, I'm just always running for time. I'd trade my problems for speeding ticket any day. I would swear, you know, somebody else's mother would be 6 feet in the ground and their father would be abused on drugs and the theft of $750,000. You know, they'd have the problem. Yeah, I would trade it in a heartbeat. Anyway, there is something I wanted to ask you about a issue with our constituting, but I do want to tell you a few things I've been listening to. And I'm saying this for other people out there, and I'm sure we all go through things, but, you know, this warrant that they issued on me for court costs, which is debtor's prison, which we don't have anymore, which is federally unconstitutional, not to mention our states. And she arrested me, and I wrote a writ of prohibition against her to the appeals court. But I have a feeling I know where this is going to go. They're going to do whatever they have to protect her. But at any rate, the Ohio Supreme Court did issue a bench card to all the courts in Ohio and told them not to do this in February of this year. And she went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to this trial, quote unquote, that they had on June the 18th over this issue of these charges, and I told her, I said, you can't be hearing this case. There's a writ of prohibition against you. You know, in the first place, you can't be the one to be, you know, judging this. And so I did get her to recuse herself, okay? But, of course, they've set it for August. But while I was there, I found out the fact that this judge has just been seated since January of 2012, okay? 12, 13, 2.5 years. All the deputies and clerks in this court, the city court, all of them are oathed under the old judge. And the statute of Ohio specifically says that the principal, a deputy or clerk appointed in pursuance of law, holds the appointment only during the pleasure of the officer appointing him. So since the old judge is the one who appointed all these people, none of these people are legal.
I never thought about that.
Their signatures are all over all these people's complaints for 2.5 years. None of these complaints against these people are any good.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's a very good point.
And it goes on to say, it's very short, it says the principal will take from his deputy or clerk a bond with sureties, condition as set forth in this section. It says the principal is answerable for the neglect or misconduct in office of his deputy or clerk. So if there's no principal over these people, there's nobody responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this up. up in court. I says, this complaints you've got against me aren't even any good. None of these people's names on here are, all, you know, appointed and valid. And he lost his cheese, you know, off his cracker as a prosecutor at that point when I brought all this up. And he goes, well, the court appoints them. I says, no. Here's their oath, and it's Judge Ross signed this.
Right.
The court doesn't appoint these people.
You're right.
You need a principal.
He's not sleeping tonight.
he's anyway, I went on to say I thought a demur. I didn't plead. By the way, I have a Ohio Supreme Court ruling 2011 that specifically says person jurisdiction. If you don't plead, you've never given them person jurisdiction. I've got a decision on this.
Well,
and I never pled. I demur. And demur is not a plea. You've got to demur before you plea. Otherwise, you've lost all rights to it. And that's in our laws. So I made this very plain. I said, I'm never giving you person jurisdiction. And I kept saying, you have no jurisdiction, no standing and cause of action. You started all this stuff with a warrant. It's unconstitutional. And I told her, you know, she's sending me back my pleadings in the mail, crossing out the clerk of court stamp. I told her, you're not a court of records. You're not
jurisdiction. Well, that there is a
I know.
She's a judge. That's 20 years in jail for her.
I know, but I got to find ways to, because the appeals court is just bending all the rules
appeals,
like that one
no,
Gina.
No, appeals court is for someone who has accepted the equity court. You see, that has nothing to do with we the people. There is no appeal from a court of record. A court of record is final. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on that numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
It is final. And who's the court of record? That's the jury. Now, the only way a trial could be overturned, and you get these stupid lawyers, and it's all about money anyway, but maybe they are this stupid, to realize that there's no way they can overturn a jury trial, but they do overturn them sometimes because it's a money thing and the payoff is there. But ultimately,
yeah,
the only way you can overturn a jury trial is if you can prove that your rights were violated by that jury. And if your rights were not violated by that jury, you cannot overturn it.
They won't let me get to a jury. They deny all my cases that
want
to go to.
Right.
But anyway,
that's my point. My point is you are still in an equity court. And that's why when you take it to the appeal system, you're submitting to the equity system.
Right.
You're accepting what they did, and you may be arguing against it, but you're in their system. You're in their jurisdiction.
Right.
You can't,
I'm glad
you can't
we're going to do the Thursday things because I just hope we take equal time because I really need some direction. I have all this stuff here. I just need direction as to what to file, where to file, when to file, because I know that I've got
It's pretty easy, and we will go through it on a Thursday night call. I don't want to do it here because some people complain about the court stuff, and I appreciate that. So we don't want to spend too much time on it, but we will spend time and lay out. And it's always the same. I'll tell you, it's a pretty simple process, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm even bringing this up is so the people that are still on the call can understand what these judges in the courts are doing. I want to tell you, I filed this demur, and I put down my name, Rosanna Miller, and I put people versus Belle Fountain Municipal Court Corporation. And she laughed at me. Now, I have all this on audio, so you can hear all
that's
this.
That's a fact, though. You just put
it on
the fact.
She goes, and you put down here that you're the people. And I said, well, I am the people. And she said, and then you put down here we're the corporation. I said, you are the corporation.
Yeah,
and she goes,
absolutely.
It's ridiculous. But she was laughing at it. This is what I'm saying. These people are out of control.
She may be that ignorant. It's a state court, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the city. It's the city.
Yeah. Oh, that's even worse. She doesn't have a clue. She really doesn't know. She doesn't know anything that what you're talking about.
But I want to tell you something because I never walk in the bar. I always tell her I'm not coming on a ship. That's what I tell her.
I would not even be in that woman's court. I like I say, I walk into a courtroom once. I don't go back a second time. They come into my court after that because you have to immediately do a countersuit and you got to make yourself the plaintiff. And remember, none of those people, even if they call themselves the plaintiff, are the plaintiff because they're in a different court. When you go into your court and you open up your court of record, it's not that you're responding in a court of record. You are opening a court of record. You are the plaintiff.
That's what I did. I filed a counterclaim and I made me the plaintiff. And it's in common law. Well,
absolutely. And you apply
but that's
what
she said
you apply
to me.
It, but you apply it in that court only once. Once you walk into that court once and she sits and she laughs or she continues or she makes another date, that's it. You're done. Now her court is susceptible to collateral damage from your court. Immediately you go file in the federal court. Reason being, okay, the only place that this could be heard now is in the federal courts because it is a violation of your unalienable rights. And you've got conspiracy is your main thing here. When that judge and that lawyer start talking about their statutes and all the things that they're going to do and emotions and everything, they are conspiring. They have hijacked you from your court into their court, and now they're going to suffer collateral damage. And the first and foremost is they're going to pay $50,000, or $25,000, but $50,000 I think is a good number, for every right that they violate of yours. And you just keep adding it up, and every officer gets hit with that $50,000. If there's a cop involved, you can even do the bailiff if you want. Get him involved because the bailiff should know the law. There is no excuse for the bailiff. He took an oath. Did you raise your hand? I took a oath as a man. You understand the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth amendment? You understand all this? Oh, yeah, I understand it. Why didn't you arrest that judge?
Well, he's the one that doesn't have an oath.
He has no clue.
He was appointed underneath the old judge. He's no good anymore.
It doesn't matter. It does. But even with that, whether he was appointed right or wrong, the point is he still took that oath. And and he's in that court. If he's incapable to see that that judge is doing a crime and they're committing crimes every single day and the bailiffs nowhere arrest them, it's time to hold the bailiffs as accountable as the sheriff or anyone else. Because they're there, and they should get up and say, excuse me, judge, turn around, put your hands behind your back, and take them to jail. That's what they should be doing. But they're incapable of seeing the crime. They can't see it.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that then on Thursday. But that's what she sends back to me is my counterclaims. She's sending them back to me with the clerk of court stamp crossed out on it. She's sending
Let's talk on Thursday because we only got a few minutes left. We've got two more callers.
I want to tell you something, too, about the bar. If you do go inside the bar, make sure you address the judge that you want to parlay with the judge. Now, that's a pirate thing, but you parlay with the judge. That puts you not in there. You're just parlaying with the judge.
I'll tell you what. Bring that up on Thursday. I'm interested in hearing more on that. I've never heard that before.
Okay, here's my question, too. Somebody from Texas, we're constituting Ohio this weekend. So somebody from Texas is coming up. They can't go to their own, but they want to be a part of someone's. They're going to be here in Ohio. Can these people from Texas, can they vote for constituting?
They cannot vote, but they can bear witness. They can sign an affidavit that they were there at the election and they saw it took place. Human being can do that.
Okay, so the affidavit's good, but they can't sign on the constituting state.
Well, the papers for constituting the counties, should be done by the people of the counties. They have to be passed on. They're not going to be filed with the courts until you get a leadership in the county. So you pass it on to the leadership in the county, and then that person will find two other people. And if they want to get it in and they haven't found two other people yet, then anybody can sign it with them. But you try to give it, let them sign it at that time, and that could be months later. But the seal, the unified seal can be gotten, and you can be operating together with whatever counties are in. And as counties come on board, they'll be operating and working with you anyway.
Should we leave one of those lines blank then?
On which?
Constituting the county?
On the declaration?
To constitute the county?
I would say if there's no one there from that county, I would leave all of it blank. And when you get someone to pass it off on to, they can sign it. You know, they're not. Because they're swearing that what they're doing is the same. We did a declaration. We're in agreement with this, and the declaration is done, and here it is. The affidavit to the fact that the election took place, that's three other things. That's an affidavit. But, you know, on the other hand, you can sign them anyway. It doesn't matter who signs them either. It doesn't really matter, but it does have to go eventually into. But you don't really want to file it with the court yet until you get at least one leader in that county that could take that filing.
Right. So we were going to go ahead and sign all of the county. We're going to print them all off and take them with us. And we were going to go ahead and sign, three people were going to sign each county's constituting.
You could do that if you want, but it doesn't have to be done. The key thing is you get the affidavits and all the paperwork is done, and then eventually the seal is gotten. That doesn't have to be done.
Okay.
before the election. It'll be done later on. The unified field you should get right away so that we work together, because the next 30 days is going to be very, very powerful, and we need these deals for that.
Okay. All right. So leave them blank, or should I go ahead and have people sign them either way on
either
the
way.
Free signature? Okay. Yeah, all right.
If you got a lot of people, get the signatures. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then we'll talk later, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks,
okay,
John, next. Gerard, and everybody. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Next caller, 828, go right ahead.
Hey, everybody. This is Jay from North Carolina.
This is the Jay. Are you traveling?
Hey, yeah, always.
Always traveling. Okay.
Earlier
you never
tonight,
listen when
you're
not traveling, yeah? Go ahead.
Earlier tonight, Gerard expressed concern about you using the term legal advice on on a document.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
What if you worded it if you need advice on the law?
Yeah, maybe that. We're going to have to. That's a possibility. What do you think of that, Gerard?
I think the law is good because they think they own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Legal has to do with lawyer, and you can't let them accuse you of trying to be a lawyer. You know, maybe counsel. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, you're not giving them legal advice. You're giving them advice on the law.
Exactly. Right.
Well, that's good. There you go. And they can do with it however they want to execute it.
Right.
They can execute it. All right. We'll think of using those words. We do have to change them, so we'll maybe use those words.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. I've been thinking about that and riding down the road.
Great.
Okay.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later, Jay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Next caller, let's see, Linda.
Hey,
941.
This is Roger Dowdell.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Roger?
The line is in my wife's name.
So, oh, okay.
So
I got your call. I was trying to get back to you, but your number goes that I've been calling goes to the fax machine, so I couldn't get you. But in any event, I don't know if you want to talk on the air about it, but whatever you want to talk about, go ahead.
I just want to give you two little ones. We can talk later. But unfortunately, I missed the whole call up until 11:30. I was in the air. But I did have a conversation Sunday night with David Robinson.
Okay.
And the two nuggets in the conversation that I'd like to communicate is that, number one, he was right up front and forthright in admitting that he did not write the document that he posted. And when I asked him who wrote it, he wouldn't answer the question. He said he didn't know. But he was
if he does an affidavit and gives us a copy of that affidavit and allows us to post that affidavit, we would let him back into the program. This is such a serious problem. We cannot not do what we did. Okay, what we did was had to be done, and everybody that took a vote on this thing, it was just unanimous right away. There's no one thinking about anything. Everyone saw the seriousness of this. Because if they could take this and lean it on us, they would call us subverters, and we would be guilty of treason against the United States of America.
Right.
And that's in the Constitution, clear as a bell. And, you know, this was a dangerous thing to happen. Now, we did not call him. The decision was made at our thing to not call him, because I was going to call him, but then it was suggested we not, and I said, okay, you're probably right. We're best to just stay silent. I'm glad we didn't, because then we'd have a different dilemma if you would have told me what you told me. Now it's a whole different dilemma now. And we wouldn't have been able to do what we did tonight. What we did tonight was extremely important, and we're suggesting everybody to download tonight and keep it on their computer somewhere, because if enough people have it, they can't come out and lie. But if Dave wants to give me a call and he wants to reveal who did it and do it on an affidavit, because it's that serious, I don't know of any other way we could do it without putting ourselves at risk. And then we'd be able to file that affidavit online. We'd post it online. Then we would find. Bring him back in.
So he was very straightforward, though, and admitted that he didn't write it. But then further on in the conversation,
Well, before you go any further, let me just quiz you here for a second. Did he say when that was written? Because I heard someone said that was written earlier in June.
According to the document itself, the activity in the first few sentences mentions June 19th.
Oh, but okay. No, so there you go.
He did not tell me when it was written.
All right. But go ahead. You want to say more? Go ahead.
Yeah, just one other little nugget. Further on in the conversation, he expressed the opinion that NLA was never going to succeed unless we partnered closely with the existing prosecutors.
Partner? Why would we want to partner with them?
Well, his argument is that we won't have the capacity to deal with the complaints of criminal activity that will come forward. That is his argument.
I don't say that again. We won't have the capacity to deal with the criminal complaints?
With four administrative investigators, with that limited size, his argument is we need to partner with the existing prosecutors in order to have more capacity.
Yeah, no, that'll never happen. Because they work for the bar. They don't work for the people, and they're not going to do anything right. We are not going to hear cases where there is no injured party,
right.
And we're going to make that clear. And if they insist on bringing a case to the grand jury, they will be educated enough to know there is no injured party here. And you cannot legislate people's behavior. Don't come in here with these silly things, because we're not going to allow it to go through the process.
Right,
bear
in mind, though, I'm trying to communicate one other thing. The point I'm trying to communicate is here he is as part of our team, but talking quite negatively about our strategy.
Right. Well, again, he should come in and converse and bring these thoughts and ideas up. Look, people should never be afraid to come up and give opposite views, and because maybe they're missing, maybe we're missing something, maybe we do have something wrong. So that opportunity is there, and I think conversation helps to reveal where the error is, if we're honest, you know. And so let him come up and let him talk to us, and you know what? I think he'll catch his problem, because clearly he's got a problem with this, because you cannot in any way, shape, or form, bottom line, allow a partnership with anybody that works for the bar. Lawyers work for the bar. That's their boss, you know. So that's a major problem right there, and it just defuncts it all. But on top of that, if he's trying to say that four people aren't enough to do the job, then you need six people in a county. That's fine. Each county is going to have to decide that on their own. Four is the beginning. It cannot be less than four, and I say that only because it makes sense. And it was laid out by the idea was all laid out in the Magna Carta, so that's why the principle of four is there. But so minimum four, but goodness, if you need six, you get six. If you need eight, you get eight. You get whatever you need.
You might even need more than one grand jury in a county.
That's right. The grand jury, well, it may sit for a week and there'll be maybe a lot of cases to be heard, but you're right. You might have to sit two grand juries at the same time because there's so many cases. But here's the thing. You see, the bottom line is, on the one hand, we're going to get a lot less cases because the county jails are going to have to be emptied out because I would think at least 90% of the people in county jail need to come out of there. Judge Bork said that. That 90% of the people in jail are there because they opened their mouth. They pleaded. They don't belong there. Okay, they fell into the jurisdiction of the money making machine, the corporation. So right there, a lot of cases are eliminated. The problem, on the other hand, is going to happen is because there's going to be a lot of people coming in complaining about what the government has done to them. So there's going to be an escalation of a lot of cases against the people in government. But that'll only go on so long, and then it'll level out. So we may have to take on more people for a while, but we'll get to a point where some people may have to be laid off then. Well, I don't know how that's going to work. We're going to have to figure that out in each county. But I think we should try to do the best we can with four people, realizing that they should be able to handle it in most cases, unless it's a high populated area like New York City or something. So, you know, we just have to figure this out. But definitely we're not going to partnership with a bar attorney. And the guy's not even elected anyway. Well, maybe he is. Is the prosecutor elected position, Gerard?
Yes, most places.
Okay. All right, yes. So he is elected. That's fine. He better be careful because we may remove him from office. Well, and if he is an elected official, he's got to leave the bar. You know, yeah. We can't force lawyers to leave the bar, but elected, the judge can't belong to the bar. That's a conflict of interest. You can't serve two masters. Same thing with the prosecutor. That's a conflict of interest. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah, especially when you're prosecuting public officials like judges and attorneys. You need a private attorney general. You need somebody that's not locked into that oath.
Right.
You know? He just gave me an idea on that guy that said that they'll never close it down because it's too big. There's too many people who go out of work. I just realized the answer for that. The answer for that is we got 4 years to figure that out because we're going to fill the jails back up with all the corrupt prosecutors and judges.
That's right. They won't need to be looking for a job.
Yeah.
They'll have a new residence.
That's right. They'll be making license plates. We'll still make money for a little while.
That's terrible. Which, by the way, you know, we empty out the county jails, and when people do go to trial and have to go to jail, they should be in their county jails. They should be near home. They shouldn't have to be shipped away, in some cases, hundreds of miles away from their home. That's a burden on their family. You know, we have to take that into consideration. Maybe they broke the law, and maybe they do belong in jail and need to be there for a while. That all may be true. But that doesn't mean their children have to be punished, and their wives and brothers and sisters and parents and so on and so forth, you know, that they are forced to have to travel so far away. We don't need the state jails anyway because we do have a jail in every county.
Well, let me tell you something. The county jails are hellholes. You know, by law, they can only keep you there a year. If you get more than a year, they have to send you to a state prison.
Well, hold it. By whose law?
I'm just telling you the way things are right now. The county jail is a hellhole because they can only keep people for a year. They don't put any money in it. There's no exercise yards. They're moldy, nasty. I mean, at least in this state, I don't know about other states, there's nothing for them to do. All you do all day. I mean, I know people that have been in the county jail. I don't know how they don't go crazy.
Maybe we need to fix that.
It's horrible. It's cruel and unusual.
Maybe
and
we need to
punishment.
Fix that. Maybe we need to fix that.
They don't let them out even into an exercise yard. And there was guys in there for 16 months, never saw the light of day. You might as well be locked up in solitary confinement. Some of these guys go out and make sure they commit enough crime to get into state prison just to stay out of the damn county jail because it's so torturous.
Well, again, maybe we need to fix that. Maybe when we get in, we everybody has to look at their county jails and see what's going on. We need to do an investigation.
We just take over the state prison and turn it into a county jail. They got a nice facility there.
Well, again, they may be right, but again, you're pushing a whole bunch of people into one place when that doesn't need to be. Number one, I don't think, and if you start using the county jails for the real incarceration for the people who do have to be incarcerated, I think it's still going to be a lot less people. I don't think it's going to be crowded. But if they don't have a place that has to, you know, we have to figure that out. We have maybe some new construction needs to be done. It is what it is. They've violated it. Look, we've already spoken about where some heavy money is going to come from at some point as long as the economy doesn't fall. But even with the economy totally collapsing, there's solid stuff there that has value. And so there's going to be those monies have to be put into a place where it has to go back to the people. And one of the things may have to be to work into their jail system. I don't know, but we're going to have to figure that out when we get in. And every grand jury is going to have to do an investigation of their jail system and see once what's going on, make some thoughts and ideas, brainstorm it, maybe even call a whole grand jury together just to discuss it, to get 20, 25 more minds into the brainstorming and seeing and looking and thinking and then writing something down in an information and putting it in the paper, and something has to be done once they file it. So I don't know, but It's a problem, another problem that these SOBs, you know, has made and caused that we have to fix. I don't know. I know people who are in jail, and I know people who went to jail from the city or just north of the city, and they were sent all the way up to Elmira, okay? My goodness. For the family to travel up there was like 4 hours, 5 hours. That's total insanity. That's one way. You can't do that to people. That's wrong. You know, I mean, it's not so much that you care, concerned so much for the person who's in jail, so to speak, but they have family, those people you have to consider. Compassion has still got to come into play. Mercy is part of our thinking. So I don't know the solution, but we certainly have to figure a way to solve it. And when we get in, that's a problem we're going to have to try to solve. And every county is going to have to deal with that. And one county may do one thing, and another county may do another thing. And as long as they can go to sleep with the things they do, well, there you go. But, you know, one county may look at another county, see what they've done, say, hey, that's the way to go right there. Let's do that here. However, I don't know. Anyway, more and more people calling into this call. Let's move along. Anything else, Roger?
No, I'm all set. Thanks.
All right. Next call, a wireless 406.
Yeah, this is Dan from Montana.
How you doing, Dan?
Good. I wasn't able to have cell service for the whole call, and it's maybe already answered, and I'm sorry if it was.
But okay.
How is the online training stuff coming?
Everything's been delivered to the tech. He's supposed to get back to me with a price, hopefully tomorrow. And once I know the price, if we have the money to deal with it, we still have money set aside. We're waiting for the final numbers on the jurist handbooks. I don't know how much that's going to absorb. We do have some bills to pay, and I'm paying them now. I don't know how much that's going to, and I don't know what's going to be left over and if we're going to have enough to pay for this. And if we don't, then I'll immediately put out an email to everyone letting them know we need, some help to reach a certain goal to get this online.
Okay. And then one more question. Somewhere I've been lately, they have a printout you can do for a three-ring binder to keep stuff organized. Is that on your site somewhere and I just can't find it again, or is it somewhere else?
You mean for going into court?
Possibly. Is it,
yeah, that's,
okay,
that's
yeah.
Mark my pages.
Huh?
That's in that. That's good. That book that you print out, put the tabs in, put the three-ring binder. That's the going to court course.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that should be in there. And you know, we'll try to update that soon, because although a lot of that stuff teaches us how to get into the courts and write papers and do things their way, and a lot of that, and some of that will still come into play when we go common law anyway. But some of it won't be needed anymore when we go into common law. So at some point, we will kind of redo that book. We have the time for, you know, future. But right now, that book stands as still good at the moment. And a lot of things really is the papers. And we got a lot of examples up online, too. So.
All right. Thank you very much for your work and time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller is another 406 number, wireless. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Julie in Montana.
How you doing, Julie from Montana?
Good. I just wanted to ask about the postcards to the judges. Is that still on hold, or are we going forward with that?
Well, right now to shop, we're going to make the move now this week. So, but if people still have postcards and can send it in, absolutely send it in to shop. More than him's going to see it anyway, because he knows something's coming down the pike. He's got to know. And right now, we don't want to get too hard on him yet, because it was a long week, a holiday. And so we'll give him to the end of this week. So he's had plenty of time to respond and do his duty and deal with the crime that we notified him of. So.
Okay. So can you give us a heads up with the email or something when we should be...
Well, you can be sending them now, and I would say, we'll put an email out at the point when, actually, everybody will know, because we're going to call people together to discuss what we're going to do with SHOP.
Okay.
So we don't want to go and indict every single judge. When we go out and we're getting ready, and I should have had this paperwork done. I was going to do it over the weekend, but I got lost in so many other things. I mean, the Joaquin thing took a lot of my time prior to the weekend and coming up to it, and then this thing with David Robinson became a problem, and there were other things I had to deal with and problems and papers, and so I never got this done. I wanted to get the letter together to get out to the other 161 judges here in the federal judges here in New York, get that out, and so we'll get that out, and then we're going to call to discuss what's happening with Sharp, and at that point, you know, there'll be no need for any more postcards at that point.
Okay, so people are sending in postcards right now, and
yes,
we can continue to do that?
Continue to do that, yep.
Okay, okay. Great, okay, that's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Next caller, Ronald. Go right ahead, 714.
Right, since I wasn't going to call in, it's getting late for me as well. Apologize for that, but the Robbins guy, there's an interesting post that came out saying it asked the question, in quotes, Civil War happening, rumors running rampant, confirmed hoax, in all caps. And then this guy says, it's very interesting stuff, I think it's pertinent to the conversation you had with the fellow that's on the road. He did a lot of groundwork. He says, after doing some research, I concluded that the story's fake. Here's my sleuth work on David Robinson. And he ran it down to because after finding the original, I was able to search the address, which takes you to a small White House, Maine Republic, Free State News, 3 Linnell Circle, Brunswick, Maine, and the zip code. I then did a search on the address, which led me to a post in May using the same address for some kind of Federal Reserve protest. He gives that link. This then led me to David Robinson's other website, which is maine-patriot.com. However, if you search for it, nothing comes up, nothing in cache search either. But after looking more using a tool for searching site's IPs, I found that it's still active, just hidden. Renewed until 2017 out of Hunt Brothers in the Cayman Islands. Now, that's interesting. The guy didn't want to say who wrote this. That's interesting. I find that on itself. My personal
Hunt
comment.
Hunt Brothers?
Hunt
out of the
Brothers,
Cayman?
Out of the
H-U-N-T?
Cayman Islands. H-U-N-T.
H-U-N-T. That's interesting. Did you find anything on that?
I haven't looked further, but he gives more. He gives a link, and then he lists all of the, like, domain name, mainpatriot.com, registry ID, registry who is server, registry updated date, creation date, registrar, blah, 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 25 things all the way down to admin street, you know, that recaps all that. He found another set of links. That last one was a set of 25 you know, codes or whatever they call them. But he has this other link out of bawhoisit.com/site/main-patriot.com/HTML, and it's shorter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. It says mainpatriot.com, site location, county flag, Kentucky, Cayman Islands, city, region, zip code, origination, Hunt Brothers, internet service provider, direct Nick, and mainpatriot.com domain, and it's got a lot longer line. I won't read it all, except for the fact that it says it was updated 10 January 2013, expires in 2016 January 2014. Then he comments, I'm certain these are associated, the same person, dot, 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 clearly doing all kinds of, quote, militia, unquote, and rebellion propaganda. It's fake. The story promoted by David Robinson, an obvious rebellion wannabe investigator, shame on those people for making this up. Well, that's his opinion. And then he gives the full, he says, Civil War report below. This is not really happening. And he does that whole, you know, that whole thing that was put out, the whole document about the Joint Chief guy and everything like that. So anyway, this came out on the Ascension with Earth Sunday, July 6th, which is a good thing because they get a lot of hits. I just wanted to add that as a confirmation, also that the man that was on, you know, the traveler that said he had talked to him and that Robinson didn't want to say who wrote it. This still doesn't say who wrote it, but it does have some interesting information, I thought, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay. Thanks,
sir. Okay, since it's on the record, if you'd like, I can email that to you as well, or you can find it.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
Okay.
And make sure you get Gerard to email him, too, so if I don't catch it, he'll catch it. Do you need Gerard's email?
I have an email of his that has his name, 53@ live.com. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, I'll send it. I'll do it both to you right now, tonight before I go to bed.
I appreciate it.
Coming your way.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, last caller, 503, wireless caller.
Is this 503-718-185? I'm open.
That's it. Yes.
Okay. Hello, man. Congratulations. Doing a great job. A whole lot of emphasis there on that Mr. Joaquin character, though I thought maybe if I were making that notice on behalf of National Liberty Alliance, that, you know, it's going to be easy to understand, at least from my point of view, from my layman's thought, that, you know, you would get vicarious actors that would come along like this. Who knows how much of it's even real propaganda or not, but who knows. But I just wanted to make another comment after congratulating your astounding.
Appreciate it. Can you get a little closer to the mic?
I can certainly make an effort. How's that, Tessa?
Okay. Go ahead.
Is that clear?
It's a little louder, so that's better. Go ahead.
Are you able to understand now?
I am, yes.
Okay, thank you. So, in reference to everything I hear all the time, you know, it seems that in my own life, with my own walk, the straighter it's gotten, the narrower it is, that right must cut right and straight every time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of issues and points made and things talked about, but as you said, that law of right is never wrong. And we are treated so heinously and so filthy and so rotten. I mean, Harriet Tubman would have thought they would have had it easy going compared to what we're enduring now. So, may the powers that be that make all this work, because I'm on board. I'm one of the team.
We appreciate it. What state are you calling from?
When I heard, just a moment, please, when I heard you discussing certain things, I wasn't even planning to do this tonight, but it struck my trauma disorder from the legal abuse syndrome for the last 40 years of my life without an injured party, from any damaged property, injured or otherwise, you know, it was the fiction. And the same profile, the same program in the court system today is bigger, badder, and larger, and processing more bodies than it was when I was 18. Because when I was 18, they only had two prisons in my state, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't tell you how many, but it's well over 20.
Yeah, it's big
and
business now, yeah.
They have so many different housing institutions now. They're picking up, they pick up houses. They got regular houses on the blocks, you know, and those are filled with their victims from the state hospital syndrome. We have all these legal syndromes and all the feeder parasite groups attached to them. So, gosh, you know, it seems such an overwhelming burden, but it all has to start with that one thought, and we have to believe, and we have to believe we have that power, and our power is right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the bottom line is this battle is really not our battle. You know, this is spiritual wickedness in high places, and this is God's battle, and we expect him, and he says this is his battle.
Thank you for sounding the horns and bringing out the words in the vocabulary, because I need to hear men like you to give me that light that I can stay focused on. You know, I need to hear your positive input, feedback, and clarity for understanding, because I, too, am not a violent man, but I've suffered at the hands of extreme violence. It's amazing that I don't know the reasons, but I know we got great men in there right now, like Leonard Peltier, we got Mahmoud Abu-Jamal, and how many hundreds more. And I've just since I began to wake up in the year 2000, I've met great men. Like one of the greatest men I've got to meet so far, I saw him one time on a six-hour video. His name is Leroy Michael Schweitzer. A fabulous man. I've never heard anything so fabulous, true to the core of my entire life. You know, just like you, John, I've never heard anything but your voice over the airways. Well, I only saw Leroy's on a six-hour video, and then through these long, eloquent 15-page letters in pencil, because he was always writing from the shoe. He couldn't have a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, to all those before us, all those with us, and all those that will become us, the victories to our Creator. Amen. Thank you for the chance to speak tonight.
Amen. Okay, appreciate the call. All right, I guess that brings our program to the end. We'll be back next Monday. This Thursday, as I mentioned, I will be on the Drake Show, and that is Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be on to at least 11 o'clock. So anybody wants to come in on that program and listen in or call in. And the following Thursday, we'll be starting the law program, or whatever we want to call it. What do we want to call it, Gerard? Law advice program?
Like us, everywhere, turning around and facing our abuser and saying, it's over with.
All right, so anyway, the law program will be the following Thursday, same place right here, same phone number. We'll have the chat room open if people want to come into the chat, and we'll discuss law. But our Monday programs will continue, which will continue to give updates where we're going. We're going to hopefully be discussing Judge Smart. What's his name? Not Smart. Judge. What's that judge's name, Gerard, that we have to go at?
Probably been 50.
See what's going on. Do you know, Gerard? Well, I guess I lost you.
This is Jay. Advice on the
Jay.
Law.
Advice on the law. Thank you, Jay. Okay, so that's that. We'll call it something like that. But it'll be Thursday night at 9 p.m., and then Monday we'll have our regular program, and then we'll just take it from there. And we'll see everybody next time. All right. Good night, everybody. God bless.